much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's up, party people? K-Rock. That. Let me know when you're ready. All right, we're at. All right, take two.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Welcome to Splash. If you thought that was incredible, it is just a taste of what's to come. Hey, everybody, I'm Joey Lawrence.
And I'm Carissa Thompson. Get ready for a television extravaganza unlike anything you've ever seen before.
Could one say that a book is nothing more than a painting of words, which are the notes on the tapestry of the greatest film ever sculpted?
Did you ever get the feeling there must be a better catheter for you?
And now.
Oh, yeah, I remember the both of you.
Oh, hi.
Hi, you're both disgusting people.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 27th of August.
What's up, you guys? What's happening?
You know.
You know.
All right. Still nervous. I've already heard that Kevin was out last night, got home late. I've already heard that Allie's not sleeping well, so I feel like this is going to be a good day today.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm working with a team that is pumped and ready to deliver.
Together, we don't even make one good human, really.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah.
You mean normally or just today without the sleep?
I mean all three of us.
Oh, the three of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just kidding. I meant us and today.
Yeah, sure. So, all right. I'm going to be running down the field with one of you hanging on to each leg. Drag you down there.
We're raccoons, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, it is a new show for a Thursday. We do have some good stuff. It's a very exciting time for me. A couple of times a year when I find out the new words that are going in the dictionary. You're probably the same way, Kevin. You look forward to this so much.
I really just couldn't care less.
Really?
But your excitement over it does fascinate me.
Well, because I love the fact that that English is a language that is constantly evolving, and it's always fun. I'm not a Scrabble player, but I bet it's a huge day for Scrabble players because now they have words that they could use that they couldn't use last week.
Do you think it's circled on their calendar? Like, yes.
Yes.
I finally use this word.
Yes, I do. Now, I was surprised. I have a list in front of me of some of the new words that are in the Oxford Dictionary as of this week. And some of them are not a surprise to me. Some of them are words I've not heard before, and some of them are a real surprise to me. For instance, butt dial is now a word in the English language.
All one word?
Butt dial, yes, one word. Now, again, this is the perfect example of how English evolves. I mean, that's a term that we've heard for years and years and years.
Right.
It was never in the dictionary until now. Now, butt dial is in the dictionary. As is butt hurt, by the way.
Oh.
So if you want to say someone's butt hurt, now that's real English.
All butts are good.
Yeah.
That's what we're learning.
Exactly. Fat shaming is now in the dictionary. Here's what I didn't know. Do you guys know hangry?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Hangry?
Oh, yeah. I'm hangry.
How do you define that, Allie?
You're hungry for something. It was like a meme with a cat.
Oh. Hangry if you are bad-tempered or irritable as a result of hunger.
Yeah.
Oh,
so in other words, you're cranky because you're hungry. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Manspreading is now in the dictionary. You guys have seen a lot of that online lately. This is where somebody sits on like the subway or something like that, a guy, and he takes up so much room because he sits there with his legs wide open.
Right. Uh-huh.
That's called manspreading. Kevin, this is going to be a big deal for you and being so active in the hip-hop community.
Sure.
Mic drop is now in the dictionary.
Really? Does anyone say mic drop? Do they say it that way?
I don't think they say mic drop. I think it's just a sign of them doing the mic drop.
Right.
I don't think it needs to be verbal. I think it's better visually.
It's a visual.
Yeah.
Or you say drop the mic.
Ooh.
But drop mic, I've never heard.
No, it's really, mic drop.
Mic drop, I've never heard.
Drop mic.
Either one.
Either one. Heard. Yeah. Huh.
Huh. All right. Well, I don't know who's excited about dictionaries, and I don't know who uses dictionaries anymore, but maybe we can get Bean back, and
this
he can give us the rest of that story. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have comedian Whitney Cummings in the studio. She's always fantastic. She's taping a special. We're going to tell you where you can be a part of that special so you can be the one person who yells, "Wow!" And you make it onto the recording.
Wow. And
yeah.
Then she'll say, "Oh, thank you so much," and then move on to the next joke, but you're there forever.
Correct.
So good.
Correct. So she's going to be in the studio today. We're going to talk to Jim Rome about sports. We have Diamond and Silk.
Oh, you are so excited for
who
this.
I can't wait for. They are on a website and they're hardcore supporters of Donald Trump.
Yeah, webesisters.com.
And I'm leery of anybody that's that pro-Trump. Mm-hmm. It worries me a little bit because I feel like he should scare. At the very most, you could go, he's refreshing and I like some of the stuff he's saying. But he scares me a little. Like, that's as strong as you should be on Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But they bring it. Mm-hmm. They bring it for real. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk to them today, and we're going to tell you about Beer Mug's Uber career and how that's going. He's got some very strict rules about when he will and won't drive.
Which has been won't a lot lately.
Well, it's been completely won't.
Yeah.
So that's the way he rolls. And we've got a brand new internet roundup as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54. Ralph Garman has joined us for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
F Pumpkins, right? Who's with me? F Pumpkins.
No.
F Pumpkins.
Yeah. Right? Woo! F Pumpkins. F Pumpkins. F Pumpkins. Paul F Pumpkins.
I don't know whether to agree or not because
listen, I've had an ass full of pumpkins
already.
And yes, and pumpkin spice everything, and everything has to be flavored pumpkin spice.
It's only August.
Well, tell them to stop it then.
Who?
Who's them?
Them.
The pumpkin spice people.
Right. First, okay. We're already getting promoted. Every Starbucks you walk into, oh, pumpkin spice latte season. Pumpkin latte. It's August.
I know.
Stop smiling.
I love it.
Now, M&M's has announced their new pumpkin spice M&M's.
Really?
Listen, I don't need my M&M's pumpkin spice. Just give me the damn M&M's. Give me peanut, give me plain. Then get out of my way, M&M. Always hated M. M was a good dude, but yeah. M was a douche.
Yeah.
Spice pumpkin M&M's.
Oh, do they start?
And the spice pumpkin M&Ms won't be the usual colors either. They'll be colored for the season.
Sure.
Ivory, brown, and orange. Oh, and don't forget, we're having a new pecan pie flavor M&M as well.
That's terrible.
Stop flavoring everything. Oreos and M&Ms, and just stop it. Just let it be.
Do they start this stuff in September, or do they actually wait until...
We got it now, son.
No, I know. I'm saying you're seeing the advertising.
It's happening.
Is it out now?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
These are on the streets.
I thought it was...
These are killing our children.
I don't think they're killing the children, but I thought they were advertising that it was on the way. You're saying it's already
You don't care about the children.
I do. I just...
Kids are mainlining pumpkin spice M&Ms and then washing it down with a pecan pie M&M.
You have a source for that?
Yes. Can't reveal his name, though, because he's very high-placed in the organization. I'm just tired of all the flavors for everything. Why can't things just be the flavor they are?
Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with M&M's.
There's nothing wrong with an Oreo, either.
Yeah.
We don't need 22 different flavors of Oreo. The good old Oreo was just a sweet-ass flavor on its own.
I can't wait to bring out my pumpkin spice candles.
I can't wait to make you eat a candle. Like an M&M.
That sounds weird.
I know. It does. All righty then. Hey, Josh Duggar, you remember him? He was the one on 18, 19 and counting.
He's
the Duggar
best.
Family. And he was, you know, the lobbyist for the moral majority, telling you how to live your life. And then, of course, that we found out, of course, 14, you touch a few kids, right? Who hasn't? Who amongst us hasn't fondled our siblings?
That was so troubling that it was his sisters.
Then we've been rolling around to the fact that he had not one but two accounts on AshleyMadison.com, as we found out from the information was hacked from that website. Well, Josh has checked himself into rehab.
Oh no! This is a colossal disaster!
He's gonna get all better now. His mom and dad, Jim Bob, first of all, all Jim Bobs can go the way of the pumpkin spice latte M&M.
I'm with you on that.
Jim Bob and Michelle have released this statement. His wrong choices have deeply hurt his precious wife and children and have negatively affected so many others. He has also brought great insult to the values and faith we hold dear. So it sounds like mom and dad are dropping the bomb now. Now they're drawing the line in the sand. All right, we let you fondle people when you're 14, but now we're starting. Now we're getting a little ticked off, said Jim Bob. I heard also, I'm going to do a little research this morning on this story, but I believe there is an adult entertainer, an adult film actress who has stepped forward and said that Josh Duggar paid her on two occasions.
Is that right?
To have rough sex with him.
Wow.
So, looks like our boy Josh got around. When he wasn't telling other people how to live their lives, he was busy living quite the life.
It's so funny because
if he had told me to live that life, I could have lived that life.
Would have listened to him.
That's right. I know how much experience he had. I'm not above taking some tips from a pro. Josh, you may be the man after all. What do I know? And while we're talking about curious parenting, remember the story about Rosie O'Donnell's daughter, Chelsea?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was missing.
She ran away from home with a creepy 23-year-old dude in Jersey. And initially, the report was she's missing. Turns out she ran off with this dude.
And she's 17, by the way.
Right. Who is now being, they're debating whether to charge him with a wide range of crimes regarding her being a minor and him
underage,
splitting with her. And at the time, the story from the Rosie O'Donnell camp was, well, she's got mental illness and she's not well. Well, it turns out that Chelsea has made the decision, now that she has just turned 18, that she wants to go home to her birth mother. She was adopted by Rosie O'Donnell. Deanna is the name of the birth mother. She gave Chelsea up for adoption in 1997, and it was her choice, they say, if she wants to live with Rosie O'Donnell or go back to her birth mother. So mom came out and picked her up. They drove back to Wisconsin together, where Chelsea will stay for at least the time being. Meanwhile, Rosie has cut Chelsea off financially and is refusing to turn over her birth certificate and Social Security card. So maybe Chelsea just hates Rosie O'Donnell. Maybe she's not mentally ill at all. Look, I know a lot of very sane people hate Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, true.
In fact, I sometimes will judge someone's sanity whether they hate Rosie O'Donnell or not. So maybe Chelsea's fine. Maybe this drama, maybe we only know one side of the story because only one of them has a spokesperson.
That's interesting. It's very possible.
Maybe she's doing whatever it takes to get away from Rosie O'Donnell.
The biggest shock is that she waited till she was 17 to run away from Rosie O'Donnell.
Right? She was supposed to, at 18 they said, you can leave if you want when you're 18. She just couldn't wait. She couldn't wait.
It's too long.
There. It's too long. So we'll wait and see. But it's nice that Rosie's cut her off financially. That's sweet, I think.
Yeah.
You must love me or I will not support you. Well, look, at 18. Probably get a job on her own, right?
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, there's plenty of cheese work to be done.
Sure.
Get herself one of those curd jobs. Today's celebrity birthdays. Aaron Paul, 36 years old today, of course, the star of Breaking Bad. What a nice guy he is. Sarah Chalk, the lovely and talented. How great was she on Scrubs?
So good.
Fantastic.
Crushed it on Scrubs.
Yep.
Couldn't not have a crush on her as you watched that show. 39 years old today. And actor Paul Reubens, Pee-wee Herman himself, celebrates his 63rd birthday.
Wow. No.
Here's the thing. Look at him today. Looks about 8 days older than he did in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It's nuts.
63?
That's right, Kevin. Just take a picture. It'll last longer.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, the producer of The Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up?
Yay!
Good morning to you, too. Hey, it's time for a brand new Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
It's a good batch this week. Dave is the guy who pulls the strings on the Internet Roundup, which is amazing because he doesn't have Internet at his house. It's pretty incredible that he's able to do the good work that he's doing.
Do you still not have Internet? I'm going to be like Bean and cry.
Dave, seriously. Dave moved about 3 weeks ago and has been trying to get Internet in his place ever since. Still no Internet.
Good times.
Right. All right. So he puts together the roundup every week, and it's a good batch this time. And we're going to start with a real-life public service announcement from the Philadelphia Police Department. Now, they are trying to get out the message, don't do drugs. Is that where we're at in America now, is we're telling people not to do drugs? Is that what's happening now?
Where we've been for a long time.
It's not the America I want to live in.
All right. So what they did is they took a PSA from the 1990s, would you say, of Saved by the Bell, and edited the police chief into the PSA, which is the strangest thing. So you see all the kids giving their anti-drug messages, and then the police chief's face is on top of Mr. Belding, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't say edited. I would say pasted on.
Very poorly. It's
very poorly.
You can see the guy behind him even sometimes. It's really janky.
But you know what? It's probably getting a lot more attention than if they'd just done a straight public service announcement. But here's a little bit of what that sounds like.
In one word, would I use dope? Nope. Drugs will hurt your mind, your body, and your life.
Hi, I'm Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey.
And I've got a hit idea for the new fall season.
No.
Don't do drugs.
Well, it's well edited. I will give him that.
Oh, such a good answer.
I am fascinated by this guy. Kevin, you're not a fan of the man who can play every song you've ever heard on his guitar.
Yeah, it just moved a little too slowly for me.
I hate this guy, by the way.
Do you?
Why do you hate him?
I don't hate him.
Because he's all like talented and stuff, and he's just like sight reading and jamming.
He's ridiculously talented, and I love the fact that it moves too slowly for Kevin, because the song's about 4 minutes long. He does 100 television themes in 4 minutes. So in other words, he's getting like 15 seconds a show, and Kevin is bored already.
Who's got that kind of time?
Here's a taste. Here's just a taste. I think this is just three of the 100 songs you can see in this medley. By the way, no editing. He plays. He sits down and plays this all in a single take. Listen up. Miles, right? Is that Breaking Bad? Into Louie. I mean, that's astonishingly talented. All right, here's the most popular video on the Internet Roundup this week. I don't know the guy who put this together, but he has recut the Karate Kid to spotlight that Daniel LaRusso is actually the violent sociopath who picks fights with Johnny. So he's the bad guy and Johnny's the good guy. This video already has over 4 million views, by the way, and here's a taste of why.
Frustrated and heartbroken, Johnny complies with Daniel's request and in the heat of the moment pushes him down. Daniel now has the radio and Allie is still in no danger. Nevertheless, he attacks Johnny, who merely steps aside, allowing Daniel to knock himself to the ground twice.
I didn't do anything!
But when Daniel refuses to let it go, Johnny must use force to end this violent outburst for the safety of everyone present.
By the way, this guy who made this video should be a defense attorney. He makes a pretty convincing case that Daniel is the bully. Our next president, Donald Trump, is all over the Internet Roundup this week. How could he not be? When he is elected, and he certainly will be, we're going to be able to say that he is the most celebrated president in history, at least in hip-hop lyrics. Here's a video that somebody put together of, I think, something like 65 different songs, rap songs throughout the years that all mention Donald Trump. Here's a little piece of it.
A concert in the White House, and after that, me and Donald Trump hung out.
I gotta show us up to Digital Underground and Humpty Hump, because he's making more than Donald Trump.
It's insane how often he gets name checked in a rap song.
Were you surprised by that? I was.
I was. It's 25 years in hip hop. That Donald
There's
Trump
so
has been
many mentions of him. Yeah. It's crazy.
And the biggest names. Your Ice Cube is in there and your Snoop Dogg. I mean, everybody is in there. It's a great, great video. Definitely check that out. Speaking of Donald Trump, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Cable news cannot talk enough about Trump. And here's one news anchor who's come to the realization that he's got a problem.
I'm a news anchor, and I'm addicted to Donald Trump. There are so many real issues. Income inequality. Climate change. When Trump says something like, breastfeeding is disgusting, I can't help but dedicate my entire cable news show to it.
The whole thing is funny. Please watch that one as well. The Republican debate happened a couple of weeks ago. It took a while, but bad lip reading is on the case. I know you're bored by debates, but watch this and look how much it looks like they're really saying these crazy things. It's one of the most entertaining things ever. For instance, I think we got a I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead.
Was that okay? I think we got a little of Governor Christie here, for instance. Again, he wasn't saying this on the TV, but it sure looks like it in this video.
Governor Christie, when you were younger, what was your favorite childhood snack?
I wanted, you know, I just wanted regular potatoes. But guess what? So did other people. I wanted it the most, so I'm like...
You just froze a baby.
I wanted the most.
You just froze a baby.
I did not.
Genital warts. You touched a genital wart. You can't touch it.
Wait, hey, guys. Hey, all right,
you're
enough.
You're a wart toucher.
Stop saying that.
You love those so much.
Mad Max Fury Road is the latest victim of honest trailers. They always do good work. Again, here's a perfect example of a really good movie that somehow they make sound dumb.
Journey to a wasteland full of robot arms, flame guitars, and giant killer monster trucks, where humanity is running short on fuel and water, but everyone goes out of their way to drive an impractical gas guzzler, and everyone wastes a ton of water.
He really does make a good point there, by the way. Yeah. NWA Straight Outta Compton movie has been number one at the box office for the past 2 weeks, and there's some great videos in the roundup this week about that. Somebody decided to cut Straight Outta Compton together with Justin Bieber. So you see him in the booth, you see him on the news, you see all the news coverage as if NWA's movie was about Bieber, and it's very well done. Here's Straight Outta Bieber.
Do you have any idea how many records you're selling? You're f***ing huge. Songs, they glamorize gangs, drugs.
One witness says the Biebs hit speeds of up to 100 miles per hour.
You want to be involved with this gangster life?
Officers pulled him over and issued a speeding ticket.
That is brilliantly edited, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, I guess he is, you know, a gangster.
No, that's just, that was the guy that was matching together the
Who
trailer.
Knew Bieber? Jeez.
And how about bringing Straight Out of Compton into the world of Batman? Everybody from Two-Face to Bane, they're all singing what they call Straight Out of Gotham.
The Joker's wild. In fact, he's delirious. Still, I gotta ask, why so serious? Pass the Philly. If you got him, spark him. Word up to Arkham, yo. Straight Out of Gotham. City of Gotham.
There's almost nothing that's ever been popular that somehow somebody doesn't bring into Batman. Isn't that crazy?
That's true.
Everything's got to be Batman. And finally, on this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel is once again out on the street of Hollywood Boulevard asking questions, as he does to passersby. And this one, I think, is intentionally the most confusing question that Jimmy has ever asked.
In light of the recent stock market crash, do you support Donald Trump's plan to build a wall around Wiz Khalifa to protect Americans from anchor babies in direct opposition to the Iranian nuclear deal, which would implement new emojis to thwart the efforts of Harry Styles abroad?
Do I support it?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what Donald Trump has his basically... Say that one more time.
Everybody is flummoxed by that question, and why wouldn't they be? You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:25.
Kevin and Bean what?
Show.
Hey, we'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome later on this morning. Also, comedian Whitney Cummings is going to be by. We love her. And Beer Mug has a new plan to make $1 million in a week. I'm very excited to hear about Beer Mug's new plan. That's coming up. First, though, last night was the final night of Taylor Swift's 1989 tour in Los Angeles. 5 nights at Staples Center. Producer Dave back in the studio. Dave, you were there last night.
I was. It was very it was a good show. It was a great show, actually.
A lot of people take note of who her surprise guests are every night, and she has had a lot of them on this tour. Just in Los Angeles, just in the last 5 nights, she's had everybody from Chris Rock out on stage with her to Beck performing, Alanis Morissette, Ellen DeGeneres, Mary J. Blige. And who was there last night, Dave?
Well, there was Justin Timberlake. That was the big one.
Selena, he came out and sang with her, right? They did Mirrors.
Selena Gomez did her new song. And then the biggest surprise of them all, Lisa Kudrow as Phoebe Buffay doing Smelly Cat.
What?
Wait. That one shocked me, too. I was like, yeah. Okay.
That's a choice.
Yeah.
And how did that go over with the audience?
Believe it or not, people went crazy. You know, I mean, she could have brought out anybody and they would go nuts for her. But I was shocked that people knew what that song was.
Friends was a huge hit, a big number one show, but it has been gone for a minute, that's for sure. But people still remember that character and still remember Smelly Cat?
Yeah, they sang along, and you know, they even, you know, threw a call and response to the crowd, and the crowd sang back, and I was like, okay.
I got a tweet last night, a guy says, what are we going to do? Taylor Swift is literally taking over the world. And I was like, I don't think I don't think we can stop her. No. I would love to have an answer for that, but there isn't one.
Now, Kevin, you've been critical of Taylor Swift bringing all these people on stage.
I couldn't hate her more.
But help me understand this, because, look, she's putting on a great show for her fans, and she's surprising them every night. I mean, every night you go, there's going to be something special that you've never seen before. Isn't that kind of fun?
You lost me at Taylor Swift. I can't. And by the way, I just found out during that last record that when Taylor goes off stage to change, she puts up a video of her famous friends saying how much they like her and how good it is to be friends with her.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Come on, right?
That's a bit self-serving.
Our pal Lily Aldridge, isn't it? Yes. Let's see, Alina Dunham. The sisters in
Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
So there's a video up saying it's so fun to be friends with her.
Well,
yay.
He's talking about love and stuff like
I'm
that.
Really
and their thoughts.
Having a good time with my best friend, Taylor Swift, who everybody's already there to see. I don't know that you need to hit him over the head with your celebrity friends. See, but nothing's genuine with her.
But there's videos of her cats, too, Kevin. You get to see her cats.
The cats. I love the cats.
Oh, I couldn't hate you more.
The fatheads in the crowd were the best.
Yeah.
Of the cats.
Right?
So what about the fact that Taylor Swift is on the phone right now? What about we have a chance to talk to her ourselves after the big stand at Staples Center? Hi, Taylor. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm on the phone with you. Everybody, I'm on the phone with Kevin and Bean.
Okay. Taylor, we arranged this with you ahead of time. You knew you...
We're not your friends.
We're not your friends.
I can't believe it. You guys are so... You're part of my squad.
We're not part of your squad at all.
You're part of my sweet squad.
Nope. That's not the case.
I can't believe it. Isn't that amazing?
All right. Take it easy, everybody.
Why do you have a crowd with you this morning? I don't understand. You're not on a show right now.
I decided I'll have one always.
You just travel with a crowd now?
I just need thousands of people to worship me.
Okay. Well, listen, Taylor. This is Bean speaking, and you know that I love you.
Oh, my God, Bean. I don't know who you are.
Okay. But a lot of people...
You know why?
Be fair,
because Bean's not a celebrity. That's why.
Oh, he's not famous?
Right.
Oh, I got to go.
Yeah, no,
okay,
no.
Well, just give us another minute, Taylor. A lot of people have been very critical, saying that you only bring these famous people on stage so that people will worship you, to make yourself look better, that you're not doing it for the fans at all. You're just doing it because you're an egomaniac. What's your response to that?
All my good personal friends, they have all affected me deeply, and I have a personal friend relationship with all of them because all of my friends are famous.
Okay, how...
I can't believe how famous they are!
No. We get it. How are you friends with Matt LeBlanc?
Matt LeBlanc and I were on Friends together.
No, you weren't.
You were not on Friends. No. I don't think you were on Friends at all.
Nope. Mm-mm.
I was in Lost in Space with him.
You weren't in Lost in Space either.
I'm sure that's not the case as well.
We worked together sometime in that thing.
No, yay, you didn't. You probably don't know him.
Yay, yay, me. Oh, they love me.
Wow.
Why are you're making the crowd chant for you now.
Yes, because that's how I can avoid real life.
Okay, what about, and this one is very confusing for me, when you played Seattle a couple of weeks ago, you brought out Russell Wilson, the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. There's no way you knew him or had ever met him before that night you brought him out on stage.
He's my personal friend.
I don't think so.
Because I caught the winning touch in the Super Bowl with him.
You didn't at all. That was
Butler.
You did not win the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
And it's not called a winning touch either.
Yes, it is. I know because I was the winner. I won the Super Bowl.
You didn't. You didn't, Taylor.
Thank you. These are all my friends, and I can't wait to have all my other famous friends join me on stage. People have made an important impact in my life. Elvira. Come on out, Elvira.
Mistress of the Dark?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, Taylor.
How would you know Elvira?
Lorena Bobbitt, everybody. Lorena Bobbitt.
What? Wow. What the hell?
Joey Heatherton. Joey Heatherton, everybody.
No one knows who Joey Heatherton is, Taylor.
Ron's from Frasier, everybody.
Yay!
Second Joey is here.
What?
Joan of Arc?
Okay, I don't think that's possible.
Lonnie Anderson in the house, everybody. Lonnie Anderson. Deborah Sidibe.
This is a weird concert now.
Paula Deen, everybody. Paula Deen.
No, that's ill-advised.
Nice. Marie Curry.
No. Okay. Been dead for hundreds of years, Taylor.
Oh. Sherry Curry.
Isn't she in The Runaways?
I don't know who that is.
And India, spicy Indian curry!
You have a lot of friends, Taylor.
Everybody love me!
All right.
Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to some great shows this weekend. Incubus and Deftones play in the Forum tomorrow night and Saturday at Irvine Meadows. We're giving them away here on K-Rock. You can also win them through the K-Rock Instagram account as well, at K-Rock. So check it out. Details at K-Rock.com. Hey, Beer Mug.
What up?
Occurred to me yesterday that I haven't heard one word from you in the last month about how you're doing as an Uber driver.
Oh, we've had so many conversations with him. I wish you were a part of being. Oh, it's just his work ethic is just amazing.
Here's what I remember is that Muggs came to us a few months ago and said, guys, I got it. I'm going to be so rich because I'm going to start driving an Uber after the show. And then we had all these conversations with him about how he was going to go out and buy a new car. So he's going to start off completely way in debt. He'd have to work like 2 years before he made his first real penny. But he said, I'm going to do it anyway. So it seemed like for the first like 2 weekends, we heard a lot of stories. Remember someone vomited on him in the first weekend?
Right.
And then the next weekend he went out and did, and he came in and was like, I made a lot of money. But then nothing since then. And I'm trying to figure out, did it go off the rails or is he just not talking about it? What's happening?
Well, after that first weekend, I can just let me butt in if you don't mind. After that first weekend, we started hearing about these sort of weird rules that he puts in place for like when he'll drive and when he won't drive. And it seems to be like if you're going to be an Uber driver, you pretty much just drive as much as you can and make as much money as you can. But that's not Muggs' plan.
Okay.
He's not down with that plan.
So how's it been going, Muggs?
It's been awesome. And the thing about Uber is, guys,
define awesome.
Well, I set my own schedule.
Right.
I can work whenever the hell I want.
Right.
Which has been none.
But what if you don't want to work at all?
Then you just don't work.
And
I haven't been really doing it lately because my schedule hasn't been permitting. As you guys know, I did the sticker hits all the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, that was from 1 to 3.
1 to 3.
Okay.
And, you know, and then I got to drive out to the venue or where the Hot Topic is. And,
right.
You know, that's about 5 hours out of the day total. It's only a 2-hour gig, but, you know, drive time surrounding it, it adds up to 5 hours.
Because it's an hour and a half each way.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is by time now you've been working
from. No matter where it is.
From 5 a.m. and you get home and it's 5 p.m. and you're tired.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And when I'm free after the show, which is usually I'm out of here by 11,
right.
11 a.m., I start, hit the clock. 11 to 6 is my norm, Monday through Friday. I like that schedule. That's a good schedule.
Have you ever done 11 to 6 every day for a week?
I did it 1 week, the week before I went to Hawaii.
Okay.
The week before I
now,
went
wait,
to Hawaii.
You went to Hawaii 3 weeks ago?
That was like 5 weeks ago, maybe.
Okay. All right. So, Bean, the update is he hasn't driven in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
No. What kind of plan is that?
Take a little time off of Uber, you know.
You started Uber 2 weeks before that.
I know, but, you know, it's fine. It's still waiting for me. I mean, I do have to. My car insurance expired 2 days ago, so even if I wanted to drive today, I have to renew it first. But that's fine. It's already renewed. I just have to send them a new document. But, yeah, I'll get back on it.
You just said that you
– My car –
You have to register it, but it's okay because it's already registered.
Well, no. My car insurance, the one they have on file, expired. But
okay.
Since then, the insurance company sent me a new one. So all I have to do is upload a new document. So when I'm ready.
Yeah, that's like 20, 25 seconds out of your day.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. That's not stopping you from driving.
No, but, you know, I'll get back into it.
So, but the sticker hits.
Yes.
The Hot Topic thing.
Right.
That ended last Friday.
Yes. Yes.
Today's Thursday.
You know, I'm getting back into it slowly, Kevin.
Right. Easing.
Easing it.
Okay.
Easing my way back
Why
into it.
Why slowly?
You know, just make sure all my ducks are in a row.
What does that mean?
My personal life. I got to get everything in order, and then I'll boom, start making that Uber money, baby.
But what I'm saying is, last Friday was your last excuse for the sticker thing for the station.
Yeah.
So what about Saturday and then Sunday and then Monday and then Tuesday and then Wednesday?
Well, Saturday and Sunday I like to take off.
Sure.
I like to
see this is the thing.
Yeah. Saturday and Sunday I like to dedicate that for me. You
sure,
know?
Right.
My time.
Yeah.
Well, and in Muggs' defense, yesterday was National Dog Day.
Yes.
So you can't drive on National Dog Day.
Right. Exactly.
No, but I'm serious. What about Monday of this week?
Monday of this week, I was feeling a little tired after the show, so I went
tired.
Home and took a nap.
What about Tuesday of this week?
Tuesday, which was, 2 days ago, I went swimming.
Okay.
I went swimming.
Okay. But can't you go swimming at probably for what, a half hour, and then go work?
Yeah, I got it was strenuous, so I was a little tired after swimming. So
okay, so you
got to be
Tuesday.
Sharp. You got to be sharp when you're driving an Uber
car.
Well,
then
you
should never have started.
How dare you?
So yesterday.
Yesterday.
Wednesday.
I was going to go see Straight Outta Compton again.
Okay. Okay.
But then my buddy.
And you were going to drive Uber, too.
Yeah.
Did you?
I didn't. Because my buddy canceled on me. So I just ended up going home.
Okay.
So you did. Look, your relationship with driving Uber seems to be the same as your relationship with going to the gym, which is to say that you have an account, but you don't use it.
Right. But like I said, guys, it's there for whenever I'm ready to start making that buku buck. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
We hear the words that are coming out of your mouth, but they don't make any sense. Because you've had so many opportunities to drive, and you just don't.
Look.
Why don't you drive past 6? Why do you drive from 5 to 8?
Because I don't want
to
be out too late. Because you got to wake up. Our hours are crazy
here. Hours,
I don't want to be out too late during school nights.
How is 6:30 too late?
Because
you
cut it
off at 6.
Because I like to get home around 7, start unwinding, get a little food in.
Unwinding
get a little,
from what?
Get a little Netflix in.
From swimming the day before, Bean.
Right.
Yeah. So
and from not going to Straight Outta Compton.
But I think it's going well, you guys. I think it's...
I do, too. Keep doing what you're doing, Bugs.
You're doing good work. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Diamond and Silk.
Diamond
we be sisters.
And Silk.
Does kind of sound like it ought to be a Prince song or something, doesn't it? They are the ladies who are the very vocal supporters of Donald Trump. They're these ladies.
Leave Donald Trump alone. Leave him alone. Yeah. Period. Bye.
They're going to be joining us coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You could really cut that intro in half. Yeah. It's way, way too long.
Just promoting
too long.
That we're talking to your gals. That's coming way up on K-Rock First. Ralph's here with the show this week.
Your gals, Donald. We're talking about
yes,
you.
I am.
Going to talk to your lady loves coming up.
Come on down to the square circle. We'll be talking to some gals and some guys about this crazy politico. We'll be hitting the soapbox. And speaking of soapbox, how about those soap flakes? Do they get your laundry clean? Try new Ivory soap flakes. They're 99% pure.
Is that 1850s Bean again?
It's 1920s Bean.
Yeah.
Okay. Josh Duggar, you don't win.
Okay. Is that a ruling? Or?
Yep.
Okay.
It's a ruling. And people say, why are you talking about this guy so much? Well, he is sort of a celebrity. He was on that 19 and counting show with his whole family on TLC. He chose a life in the public eye. But more importantly, the reason I am harping on this is he also chose a life to be a lobbyist for one of those family values groups that tells everybody what TV shows they should watch and shouldn't watch and how gays are bad and pedophiles and marriage is only between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, and gay marriage would ruin the sanctity of marriage, the Duggars have said on many occasions. Well, you know what else ruins the sanctity of marriage? AshleyMadison.com. And Duggar, of course, now we know, had two separate accounts, but he's gone into rehab now. I guess penis rehab? I don't know what kind of rehab exactly he's going into.
Is there a penis rehab?
There must be, because that's where he's headed.
Okay.
And now we know more about this story coming from In Touch magazine, where adult entertainer Danica Dillon. Danica is an adult film actress and also performs live. A lot of the actresses do. They go to various strip clubs and they perform for audiences. And she, in her story, says that he approached her. Family values activist Josh Duggar approached her in a strip club in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Woo! My hometown. She was performing at the Gold Club this past March. And he walked in like any normal patron. He said he'd been a fan for a long time and had watched my career grow. He said even from before my boob job until recently, and that he loved watching my very first scene on a porn website. Then it got creepy. Then it got creepy? He spent $600 in private dances, and then asked her how much it would cost to spend the evening with her. Dylan admits she accepted $1,500 for sex. She said Duggar was violent with her and did not use protection.
Wow.
USA!
Wow.
That guy's got everything.
Wow.
Now, if Josh would just tell me to live this kind of life, I could adapt my behavior for that.
It's a weird thing that he's out there publicly telling people how to live, and he doesn't think any of that other life is going to ever come up.
Pride goeth before a fall, my friend.
That's good. I should write that down.
Yeah, that was I just made that up.
Okay, pride goeth. Okay.
Yeah. So it looks like perhaps he was being a tad hypocritical in his behavior.
Hmm.
And I have no problem with paying for sex with adult film stars and banging them. I got no problem with that. I'm not making a judgment on that behavior. I think it's fine. Whatever two people choose
to do.
You're
a live and let live guy.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm upset about it. It's because, not because he did that, but because he did that and then said the other. And that's what chaps my ass.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Well, I appreciate that. Speaking of people who chap my ass, this Chelsea Handler. Oh, this Chelsea.
You've loved her for a long, long time.
Man, does she just... Maybe she now knows how not funny she is, and all she does is show off her cans on Instagram. She's got like a dozen photos out there of her showing her cans off. But now she's switching it up, man. Now she's going to give us the curveball. Her recent one yesterday, she is showing a picture of herself with no underwear on. She's nude downstairs. Mm-hmm. And she's doing a selfie in the mirror with her hair all crazy, saying, oh, my hair, I must have slept on my hair funny. And she's holding a green apple in front of her hoo-ha.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting.
No, yeah. Not really.
So once again, she entertains the masses.
If she was hot, I would think it would help. She's not at all.
Even if she was hot, I mean, what's the...
What's the end game
right,
with this?
What is she...
She's shocking, Ralph.
Does she want to just pose naked? There's ways you can do that. Just stop pretending to be a comedian. You're ruining it for all of us.
Giggity, giggity.
Mess.
I don't know where those are, fruit flies coming off that apple or what's going on down there, but if you look closely,
no.
Bad things are happening. I'm saying bad things. That's me. Let's talk about good women.
All right.
Like Amy Schumer and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
This is a superhero team up of mythic proportions. Two of them are working on a screenplay together. They're writing their own comedy. They're going to write and star in a comedy together.
Awesome.
Jennifer.
I didn't know Jennifer Lawrence wrote screenplays.
I don't believe she does. But
okay.
Amy did, and they are teaming up. They had an idea together, and they're teaming up to write it together. Amy met Jennifer after Jennifer saw Trainwreck and emailed her with a note saying, I'm in love with you. And the two of them got together and hung out and hit it off. And now apparently they play sisters in the movie. We're almost done writing. It just flowed out of us. We've got about 100 pages right now, Jennifer told the New York Times. So
that's very exciting.
Sign me up.
I want to drink with them.
Yes.
How fun would that be?
That would be fun.
That would be a good night.
Jennifer Lawrence seems like the most fun person there is.
And Amy Schumer's right behind her. So
absolutely.
That's a dynamic duo. And he's been threatening us with new music all summer long. And it looks like Justin Bieber will indeed perform his new single, What Do You Mean?, Sunday at the MTV Video Music.
Oh, it's going to be so huge.
Can't wait.
Apparently tomorrow you'll be able to officially download the song, so you won't have to wait until Sunday for that. You can hear it, but then you'll see him perform it live on Sunday at the VMAs. What Do You Mean is the name of the song. It's a reference to him answering those questions at that deposition for that crime in March a couple years ago, where he just said, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What does Scooter Braun do for you? He manages my career. What does he do exactly? What do you mean? Idiot.
That was him at his very douchiest, wasn't it?
Oh, he was the
douchiest.
He manages it. What aspects does he manage? Over hundreds, over thousands of aspects. Name one. Manages my career. Dick in that deposition.
Guys, they're world premiering the new Taylor Swift video Sunday night as well.
I hope she burns.
So you're gonna need to
Is it a video of her on fire?
I don't believe it is.
No, I'm not watching.
Okay.
That'll
be on the pre-show if you want to make sure you tape them both.
I don't want to see that. I will not tape that. I will anti-tape that.
Well, then you're going to miss it.
I will erase. I will erase other things.
Don't break into other
in
people's houses.
Yeah, I will sacrifice other programs.
Delete.
You'll make sure your DVR is completely up.
That's right. Just so I don't accidentally DVR. I will remove all data from its memory banks.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Aaron Paul. Sure, he's got two first names, but that's okay with me. He's a nice guy, 36
very
years
talented.
Old. Very talented man. Sarah Chalk, boy, is she talented and lovely and could not be nicer. 39 years old today. And actor Paul Rubens, you may know him better, a.k.a. Pee-wee Mother Lovin' Herman. Can't wait to see that new movie on Netflix, Pee-wee Herman's Big Holiday, it's called.
When's that coming?
I'm assuming Christmas time.
Mm.
That'd be my guess, seeing as it's a Christmas movie and all.
Kevin, you're smart.
Pee-wee's 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend comedian Whitney Cummings next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, we'll talk sports with Jim Rome. That's coming up. All right. There are two things that we can all agree on, Kevin. Tell me if I'm wrong about this. One is that Donald Trump is going to be the next and best president of all time. We got that, right? A. And B, America is in love with Diamond and Silk. They are stumping for Trump at WeBeSisters.com. These are these ladies.
So I'm appealing to you to get behind the candidate, Mr. Donald Trump, that's going to do something for you.
Yes.
That's going to give you a hand up instead of a handout, baby.
That's right.
Now, my brothers in the streets, I understand your frustration.
Yes.
But it's time for you to get back to work, baby.
That's right.
It's time for you to have some hope.
Yeah.
It's time for you, and you got to push the candidate that's going to do that.
That's right. Diamond and Silk join us on the phone from her home, I believe, in North Carolina. Hey, ladies. Welcome to the Kevin and Sean K-Rock. How are you?
Doing great.
Well, it's so great to talk to you. We've been enjoying your videos so much at WeBeSisters.com, and we've seen you interviewed on all the cable shows. Are you still enjoying this? Are you love getting up and talking about Donald Trump every day?
Oh, we still love getting up talking about him, yes.
Most definitely, yes.
You guys have mentioned in the past that you are lifelong Democrats. What was it that you saw in Mr. Trump that made you flip for this election cycle?
Well, you know, when seeing him on TV, when he announced it, you know, the first thing he wanted to do was keep Americans safe. So he's going to do that by securing the border. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to bring jobs back over to this country so people will be thriving again. So that made us very excited. We can get America back the way it used to be.
That's right.
Where we're united, we're not divided, and where everybody is thriving again in this country. So that's what he resonates with us, and that's why he's leading in the polls.
Well, he's certainly leading in the polls. It's unbelievable. I mean, political experts are so confounded by how fast his popularity is growing. He's at 40% in some polls this morning, ladies. Did you see that?
Oh, wonderful. I'm happy that excites me so. Oh, yes. I feel so good about that.
That's right.
Now, he is going to be one of the best presidents we've ever seen in the history of all presidents.
Yes, he's told us that. That's true.
Are you at all concerned? He tends to get angry pretty quickly. Are you at all concerned about how he will relate to other countries, maybe their leaders? Maybe he won't be listening as much as he should be?
Listen, I don't call it anger. I call it straight to the point. We don't need a humble and a naive and gullible president. We need someone to stand up and tell the truth, state the facts.
That's right.
And sometimes the truth will make you feel queasy or uneasy, but that's what's going to set everybody free.
That's right.
So I don't look at it as being angry. Mm-hmm. He's just telling the truth. He's unscripted. And he's just, you know, telling what he's
real. He's real.
And that's what we love about him. That's why he's leading in the polls.
Mm-hmm. So, Diamond and Silk, do you feel that so you respond very much to him saying that America has gotten far too politically correct, that we're too worried about hurting other people's feelings and not worried enough about saying what needs to be said? That's where you're coming from?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. That's right. Sometimes, listen, things is happening down there at that border. It's chaos going on down there. You know, if we don't create order, we're going to have chaos. He's just trying to organize things the right way. Mm-hmm. And listen, this man loves Americans. Mm-hmm. He loves America. And what he wants to do is to make sure that people are coming in the correct way so that you can be American, so that you can pay in the American system. Mm-hmm. Because if y'all don't notice, we have a deficit that we got to get down.
That's right.
And hey, you it's all about what we talk about or how we feel. If you go to webeatsisters.com, it's right there on our website.
All right, let me ask you this question. He seems to be, he's leading the polls. A lot of people like that he's not politically correct. But doesn't it worry you a little bit when he talks poorly about women or some of these other issues? He talks about Mexicans coming across the border and stuff. Don't you have any reservations about any of that?
See, listen, that's the media. You can't feed into the media hype. Mm-hmm. The media take his words, they twist them.
Yep.
Listen, this man loves women. He's married to a woman. Yep. He hired women. You know, don't believe into the media hype. They twist and they turn his words. They turn them around to suit a narrative. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be spoon fed that anymore. Tell us the naked truth, and that's what's going to set everybody free.
That's right.
Don't you think that he picks a lot of fights, though? Doesn't it seem like he gets in a lot of petty arguments on Twitter with his followers and with people like Megyn Kelly on Fox TV? It's not very presidential to see how much time he wastes in petty fights, I think.
Okay, but listen to me. You have to understand, Megyn Kelly started these whole shenanigans during the debate. That was the opportunity to unite us. In case you didn't notice, Donald Trump is a uniter. He's pulling in Democrats, Republicans, and independents. So that was a time to unite us, not ask him bogus questions that doesn't pertain to how he's going to make America great again.
I gotta tell you that he doesn't seem like a uniter. He seems like that there are a lot of people who hate him as much as you love him.
No, I beg to differ. He is a uniter because he got me, a Democrat, looking at him. I'm going to switch my party to vote for him.
That's
what makes him a uniter. Mm-hmm. That's what makes him a uniter. He wants America to be great again.
Yes.
He wants illegal immigrants to become Americans.
That's
he is the only candidate that is concerned about making sure American people are safe.
That's
because if you look to the left, they're not concerned about that border being secure. Just let anybody come over here and run amok. We wouldn't let them come up in our house. You wouldn't leave your door open, Kevin, and let somebody just run in your house and just chill, sit on your furniture, use your toilet, and eat up your food. Wouldn't you do that? No! You would secure your home.
That's
so
right.
I see him securing, making our homes safe,
that's
making
right.
the American people safe, baby. That's
mm-hmm.
what, and listen, if you go to WeBeatSisters.com, you'll see what we're all about.
That's
we
right.
stop for Trump, baby.
That's
we
right.
stop for him.
Now, ladies, I am just going to throw this out there. If he does not get the nomination and then decides to split the party and run as an independent, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, if he has to do what he has to do.
That's right.
If the GOP, I call them the grand old party, if they don't want to get behind the candidate that's leading, then you know what? He may have to do what he has to do. Listen, this is what we, the American people, want. And we get tired of the puppet master always pulling the strings, leaving the American people left up under the bus.
He may need to start another party.
What do you think that party would be?
Yes.
The American
party.
Yes, listen. The American people want somebody that's ready and willing to lead.
That's
and
right.
he shows that. And that's why we fought for Trump.
Are you guys getting super strong negative response? Because anytime you talk about politics, you can be pro one guy, anti the other guy. Doesn't matter. You're turning off a lot of people. And when it comes to politics, it gets super ugly.
Okay, well, see, here's my just here. We do not focus on the negative.
That's right.
But we look at the positive. We look at the people that's opening up their eyes and thinking for themselves and not allowing the media biasness or just the puppet masters to feed you a narrative. And so that's what makes us excited about. People are just waking up and opening up their eyes. And you have a man here that's telling the truth, speaking facts. And this is what the American people need to see.
Exactly.
Have you heard from Donald Trump?
Well, somebody in his campaign did reach out to us. As a matter of fact, we were supposed to be in Alabama, but we got the call because we've been so busy. We ended up, time wasn't on our side. We ended up missing our flight. But we rushed back. We were able to see the rally on TV.
And, you know.
Hold on.
Wait.
You missed your flight to meet the man that you are stumping for?
Yes.
Ladies.
On our side. We got the call at the very last minute. And by the time we got to the airport, it was, the plane was gone.
Well, he's got to send a plane for you. I mean, that's ridiculous. Am I right, ladies?
Well, listen, it's like this here. You know, if we get the call again, they will call us in time enough where we can be in place because we've been so busy and on radio, TV, just stopping for Trump, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're not disappointed. We were able to see the rally on TV, mm-hmm. and then we were on a TV station right after that to discuss it.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, we're out of time. I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you. And let me just close with this. Diamond and Silk, our guests here on the Kevin and Bean Show from their home in Raleigh, North Carolina. Again, the website is webesisters.com. This is for real. You guys are sincerely and legitimately stumping for Trump. Some have suggested that maybe you guys are just doing this to get a popular YouTube channel going or to make money somehow on the internet. But this is for real. You guys are really speaking from the heart here, right?
We are stumping for him. We want him to be our next president. We were stumping for him before all of this happened. Absolutely. And we will continue to stump for the Trump baby. Right. Yes.
All right. Well, I appreciate your passion. We appreciate your time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Diamond and Silk, thanks so much for coming on. Have a great day, ladies.
We
want WeBeSisters.com. That's right.
She's a delightful little flower, isn't she?
Yes,
Allie McKay?
She is. Just a delightful little flower. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you ever see an article online and you go, are they writing that just to me?
Yeah.
Is this so specific that is somebody watching me right now? Why is this article sound like it's about my life? Well, that's how I felt last week, Kevin, and I know you did too, when this piece popped up on BuzzFeed that has over 4 million views already, by the way. And the headline is, Dear Men, Please Stop Wearing Cargo Shorts. This is not a drill. It goes on to say, a deadly plague has infected America for far too long now. It has contaminated our neighborhoods. Scientists call this plague cargo shorts, and we must finally kill this infection once and for all. Luckily, the fashion world has been tirelessly working on a cure for some time now. Men, say hello to every other pair of shorts in existence. Non-cargo shorts are actually pretty incredible inventions. So then it goes on and on and on to talk about all of these douchebag hipster shorts that we should be wearing instead of cargo shorts.
Yeah, the options are terrible.
The options are terrible.
I can take that I'm a bad dresser, but mm-hmm. the options that you're giving me, I don't want.
I can't. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't pull off these alternate shorts that they show in this BuzzFeed article. I would look even dumber than I look in the cargo shorts. So Christine put up the article at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, and it got hundreds of comments from people. So much reaction. Who knew that there was this debate about cargo shorts? But apparently, Kevin, a lot of people are offended by the fact that guys like you and me, adult males, are wearing cargo shorts. Now, what do you suppose that's about? Like, why do you suppose people care?
I don't know. Here's my thought. I don't care.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so, but that's your thought on most things. No, but let's try to put yourself in their shoes for a minute. Why do they care whether we're wearing cargo shorts? Like, why are they so hard for people to look at?
I don't know, unless maybe they think it's I don't know. Do they think it's for younger people, so they say men stop wearing them? Is that a thing?
Let's see some of the comments here on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. And we want to hear from you, by the way, if you are anti-cargo shorts. If there's some reason you have why we shouldn't wear cargo shorts, we want to hear from you. Because apparently this article has struck a nerve with a lot of people. So you can call us at 1-800-520-1067, or you can text us at the number 2 K-Rock. Listen to this from Mariana. My boyfriend's wardrobe consists of cargo shorts and a T-shirt or polo shirt every single day. I can't. Men, they don't have to be douchey hipster shorts, but for the love of God, please wear some other type of shorts. There are great skate and surf companies with badass shorts that are not cargo shorts. Please and thank you, says Mariana. Here's Brittany. Cargo shorts are vag repellent. They may be comfy, but they're god-awful. You don't have to wear tight, short hipster shorts, especially when there are great skate and surf brands that make regular four-pocket shorts that come to just below the knee. Hashtag stop wearing cargos. I mean, these are people who are violently against cargo shorts. Allie, you're a woman. What say you when you see a guy in cargo shorts? Is it a vag repellent?
It isn't for me. I just think if you're comfortable, then you're probably going to be a better human being.
Because you're
not
grouchy.
Than if you're wearing those, like, huggers. Like, the picture in this article, those shorts, I can't imagine a guy being very comfortable if his junk is just pressed up in there. Is right. all I'm saying. So if they're making you feel good, comfortable, you're going to be a better person.
My question is, how can you feel this strongly yeah. about this topic?
I get it if that's all her boyfriend is wearing. She'd like to see him switch it up. Maybe switch it up every once in a while, but I can't imagine you just saying absolutely not, stop wearing them.
I think I wear cargo shorts 28 days a month, probably. Okay. I mean, that is my that's my uniform. That's my go-to. But look, I think you're
I'm
being
31
nice.
31 days a month.
I think you're being nice when you say whatever makes him comfortable, because I think you would have an opinion if somebody were wearing sandals and socks or something like that, even if they thought it was comfortable. I think something
oh,
like
well,
that,
that. I'm not an animal.
That would, when, that would be crazy.
Yeah. We're talking so you cargo would... shorts. We're not talking black socks with sandals. That's wrong. And Birkenstocks, men, stop it.
Adrian writes in, I carry my wallet and my keys in one hip pocket and my phone in the other, and the two extra leg pockets carry air. Blow me, BuzzFeed. So he's pro cargo shorts.
Okay.
Tommy writes in on the Kevin Bean Facebook page, someone at BuzzFeed is drunk and stupid. Cargo shorts are by far the most comfortable shorts with many pockets for things. And by the way, I think the pockets has an awful lot to do with why I wear the cargo shorts so much, because you do want a place to put your sunglasses, you want a place to put your phone, you want a place to put your wallet, you want a place to put your keys. I mean, you these days you do carry around a lot of stuff.
Place for your candy bars. You know, you need a spot for that, maybe an animal.
Why are you carrying an animal around?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of things that you would put in your cargo shorts.
So why not just be – look, I'm the only one who's wearing them. You're not wearing them. Let me wear them if I want to wear them. I guess that's what I'm saying. But if you disagree, if you think cargo shorts are no bueno, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Wow, we already have a lot of people on the line. Please stand by. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
Who knew there was all this hate?
Dude. Cargo shorts apparently are really bugging a lot of people. Talking about that, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen to this from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Maybe this is an angle we haven't thought about. This is from Andrew. Cargo shorts are like the Confederate flag or a swastika. They can be misinterpreted. All I'm saying is that you never see a guy not wearing cargo shorts yelling at his wife and or kids in public. So how about that? He's putting a lot of importance on what the guy chooses to wear.
That guy's an idiot.
Texting at K-Rock at 2KROQ on the 626. Men shouldn't wear shorts at all except to swim, sleep, or work out. Well, that Ooh. Person is no friend of mine.
That's old.
All right.
That guy's an idiot.
Allie, you were saying some of these ladies seem like they're making some pretty good points on their phones?
Well, now that I'm looking at these calls, some of them make some good points.
All right. Let's start with Vivian. Give me line four, please. Let's bring up Vivian from Lake Forest and see what her problem is. We're talking about a BuzzFeed article that suggests that cargo shorts on men in America is a plague that needs to be stopped. And it sounds like you might agree with that, Vivian.
I do. Good morning, everyone.
Hi there.
Good morning.
So, why do you hate?
Yes. In general, I think most guys have skinny legs, and then you guys give yourselves big, wide legs with big cargo pockets and no butt. It's just not attractive, guys.
So wait, so if we got a tan and a bigger butt, you'd be cool with it?
No tan, just skinny legs.
Skinny, okay, so we worked out. All right.
You're just accentuating the skinny by having bulky shorts, is what she's saying.
Right. Okay. It's like it just looks funny. It's like girls that shouldn't be wearing yoga pants. Right?
Okay, but let me suggest this, Vivian, and I know that you and I haven't met in person. I assume we haven't. I'm so sexy, I have to dial it down a little bit. Otherwise, the women cannot control themselves. I can't let all the sexy show.
It's only fair to us. You're right.
It's only fair, right? Exactly. It's like sunglasses when you're looking at the sun. That's how I'm looking at my cargo shorts. All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. Let's try Dawn. Line 7, please, in orange. Dawn also appears to be against cargo shorts. Let's find out why.
Hey, Dawn.
Yes. Cargo shorts are just saddlebags on the size of men's size. You should just get a purse. Men should just get a purse.
Hold on, Dawn. Now we can't carry a man purse?
No, she's saying we should carry a man purse.
Oh, all right.
You're saying if we're wearing cargo shorts because of all the pockets, you're saying do away with the cargo shorts, wear some grown-up pants, and just start wearing a purse, and you won't make fun of that?
That's right.
Don, here's something maybe you didn't think of. I'll look bad in both. So if I look bad in cargo shorts and bad in jeans or any other type of clothing, it's not going to help.
it'll be a nice, attractive hanging on your shoulder rather than those saddlebags on the side that nobody irons. You can't iron those pockets, and they look awful.
Yeah, it does bug me when my shorts aren't ironed.
All right. Thank you, Don. We're losing you. Let's go to Joanna, line 6, please, in La Mirada. Now, Joanna, it sounds like took it to the next step. Is this true? You threw away your husband's cargo shorts?
That's right. I sure did.
You are a communist.
They were terrible. He looked like he was a duck walking around with these terrible shorts. It just
But he's not in a fashion shoot. He's living his life comfortably. What's wrong with wearing something that's comfortable that also gives him pockets where he can put his stuff?
You know, we had a Vegas trip this weekend. I got rid of all of them, and I switched over to the chino shorts.
And so what was his reaction?
Look nice.
So you took all of his shorts and got rid of them?
That's right. I should have torched them all.
And how did he feel about it?
He wasn't too happy with it, but he had new shorts.
And he looked better, didn't he?
And he looked a lot better.
Yeah.
Walking next to me.
All right, communist.
Mm. Wow. Thank you. Seriously. That sounds like grounds for divorce. I don't know about you guys. I'm not an attorney, but it sounds like grounds for divorce to me. Allie, these ladies aren't turning you, are they?
Well, I think if we go to Carrie, I didn't even really think about this, but she brings up a good point.
Carrie?
All right.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Good morning. Thanks for getting me to work every day.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a very selfish reason for not liking those cargo shorts, mm-hmm. and it is we can't admire your butt.
Good point.
You're so smart, Carrie. You're going the other way and saying, oh, I really want to look at your butt.
We can't see what you're working with because of the bulk around the side.
But if you see my butt, then there's a possibility that Lenny Kravitz is going to fall out, and nobody wants that.
Of your butt?
No.
I'm saying the other side.
You got to see what you're working with.
I need extra.
Like, it's like women wearing a muumuu. You know, why?
Okay. It's not a muumuu.
They're muumuus. They're only slightly better than a fanny pack. And we can't see, you know, what we're dealing with. And, you know, we want to admire you, too.
No, you don't. All right. Thank you for the call. I
agree with Carrie on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to do with that, but okay. So what are we saying here?
I think I
have the people spoken?
The people have spoken, and the people are once again wrong. Our friend, comedian, actress Whitney Cummings, next hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. Also, we'll talk sports with Jim Rome. That is coming up. First, though, Ralph Garman steps in. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. Hey, Ralph.
I'm just confused by why Lenny Kravitz would fall out of your butt.
Yeah.
It just seems odd to me. He said, if you see my butt, there's a chance Lenny Kravitz could fall out.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's he doing in your butt, first of all? And he's a fairly big-sized guy. What kind of butt are you packing? What kind of trap door are you rocking?
I believe the teacher is calling on you, Kevin, looking for an answer.
Are you saying that maybe I didn't say that clearly?
Because I didn't.
You said it very clearly. I'm just scared by the statement. That's all.
If I do that, Lenny Kravitz will fall out.
You see my butt, Lenny Kravitz might fall out. And I was like, wow, that would be awesome.
I'd go to that show.
Done twice on Sunday. Take all my money. Why aren't you in America's Got Talent? Why are you wasting your time here if you can make that happen?
All right, wait. Do you have any idea what I was talking about?
I have no idea what you were talking about.
I do.
Yeah,
but
I think that you were making a reference to the wardrobe malfunction that Lenny Kravitz had on stage a couple of weeks ago. But that was his penis, that was in the front of his pants.
Right. But I'm saying if you're wearing tight enough shorts to see the butt, then they got to be that tight in front. Now, I said.
So you call your penis Lenny Kravitz?
I was just trying to refer to.
So when
a
you say Lenny
penis,
Kravitz might fall out, you're saying you call your penis.
To a famous penis.
I was referring to
you
a
call
famous
your
penis.
Penis Lenny Kravitz.
Well, I didn't before that moment, but
you do now. So you're saying you do now.
Penis,
you've named your penis Lenny Kravitz.
I have, yes.
Right. All right. Well, that sounds great.
I think it went well. I think it was well said.
Yep.
Happy with it.
Well crafted.
Do it again.
Oh, this is sad news. Tobias Strebel is dead. You may remember Tobias Strebel.
I don't.
I
don't either.
He's the man who spent $100,000 to look like Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see him on...
Well, he got all that botched.
Strange Addiction.
Yes, Strange botched, Addiction, yeah. Or The Doctors. He made the circuit. He made the TV talk show circuit.
He was a scary dude,
He was a 35-year-old man desperately trying to look like the 16-year-old Justin Bieber, which made for an odd combination. He was found dead in his room at a Motel 6 in North Hills, California, after being reported missing on August 18th. Still no official word to death, but apparently medications were found in the room, so we're going to have to wait until the toxicology report comes back and the police have decided what exactly killed him. But it looks like some sort of drug-related death. He seemed like a troubled guy.
Problems, yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like a very troubled guy.
And there are no circumstances where being found dead in a Motel 6 is good. None.
Hmm. What if you're Lenny Kravitz? What if you're Lenny Kravitz? What do you do?
I'm just saying your life is not going in. Look, there's nothing wrong with Motel 6. Stay at a Motel 6 if you want.
They keep the light on for me.
They do.
I understand. Like, yes. There's something going wrong in your life if that's where you're found dead, though. That's all I'm saying.
What? That's insane. What if you're traveling with your family and you need low budget accommodations and it's a nice, clean, safe Motel 6 and you go in there and you have a stroke. You stroke out and they find you the next morning. What went wrong with your life there?
Something sketchy about it, I think that 99.9% of the people who have been found dead at Motel 6, I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Apparently, you do.
Did not die of just safe, happy, natural causes. I think there's foul play, or there's suicide, or there's some sort of murder happening. I just think bad things are going
to me.
the Motel 6.
Do you just throw ideas up in the air, and whatever lands you think is a fact? Is that how it works?
No, I don't at all. I'm sure I could.
You told me 99.6% of all deaths that happen in Motel 6 are sketchy. That's what you just
sketchy.
Said.
That's
I think
right.
He hears himself say it, and then he believes it.
I heard it on the radio, you guys.
I heard a guy say it.
I respect a lot told me that.
Come on. The first thing you don't think is, wow, there's something going on.
Wait, the first thing I don't think? No, that's not the first thing I don't think.
The first thing
thing I don't think is, why is Lenny Kravitz falling out of Kevin's butt?
That's an excellent question.
And he should put it on ice and run it to the hospital immediately, whatever it is.
Just saying. It's trouble.
Good point. You are just saying. This is crazy. Speaking of Justin Bieber, he is going to drop his new single tomorrow.
Yes.
What Do You Mean? Will be officially downloaded tomorrow morning. So trust me, we will be breaking that down note by note.
I have a clip, but it's a pretty short
clip. What? I didn't know you had early access to Justin Bieber's single, What Do You Mean?
I do, Ralph. I would love to hear a small portion of that.
Just a teaser for what the song will sound like.
Here is Justin Bieber. Did not see that coming from him.
That is very unlike Justin Bieber's usual sound.
OMG, OMG, OMG.
OMG. He'll also be performing the song live. Well, live. He'll be performing the song Sunday at the VMAs. Apparently, it's a peppy dance song. It's peppy.
Okay, that's what you're being told by your sources?
I'm looking forward to some pep out of that kid.
Is it possible?
Less eggs, more pep, I've always said about Bieber.
Is it possible it will be good?
No.
Okay.
And this stuns and shocks me. Here's where we are in the world of physical media.
Okay.
CDs, DVDs, that kind of thing. Elvis Presley now has the number 11 album on the Billboard 200 albums chart. The 11th most... top selling. It will debut at number 11. It's coming out this week. It will debut at number 11.
What is it?
It's called Elvis Presley.
New?
No, it's brand new music. It's Elvis Presley Forever is the name of it. It is a best of collection. Huh. And it's available only through your U.S. post office.
What?
If you can only sell a record at the post office and you're still in the top 40, that's the problem with CDs right there.
Wait, what?
You heard
buy
me.
It at the post office?
That's where you get it. At the post office.
That's the only place you can get it. What are they doing?
At the post office now.
What's the post office doing?
Bean,
you're our postal expert. How about deliver a little more mail?
Yeah, a little less sell CDs, a little more.
What the hell?
I think what's going on, and I haven't purchased this one myself, but I think they've got some sort of – they've got a new Elvis stamp that's coming out this month.
Well,
and
sure.
The post office made a commemorative disc to kind of you know, coincide with the release of that stamp. And I think that there's a special package you can buy where you get some stamps and get a CD too.
Well, it's very popular. It sold 27,000 units in its first week. Good enough to make it the 11th best-selling CD in the nation.
And this is separate from the one you told us about last week, which was Elvis's music with an orchestra put
right.
behind it. Because that's another release that's out right now, too.
Right.
The post office.
Post
saying,
office. Yeah.
That's weird.
Selling CDs at the post office. This is cats and dogs.
What's happening?
Sleeping together. It's just a nightmare. Today's celebrity birthdays. Aaron Paul is 36 years old today. Sarah Chalk from Scrubs. Boy, I love her. She had another series after that, didn't she? Where she moved back in with her mom and dad, with her kids,
yes.
or whatever. Did not last a season, but...
We had her on to promote it, too.
It was very entertaining.
We enjoyed her very much, but I don't remember what the show was.
Yeah. And actor Paul Reubens, of course, better known as Pee-wee Herman, celebrates his 63rd birthday today. He was remarkably 63 years old. He still looks like exactly like he did when he did that show. It's weird. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
We look forward to this time every week when we catch up with our friend Jim Rome on AM 980 The Beast. You can hear him from 9 till noon each weekday and across the land of ours. Also, Jim Rome on Showtime. How are you, Mr. Rome?
I am so good. My favorite segment of any week and better than any segment I ever do on my own show. That's awesome.
Well, you're very kind to say that. It's always great to catch up with you. And I know I've said this many times before, but God bless the NFL for giving us plenty to talk about, even in the dog days of summer. And we got a couple of great NFL stories we want to run by you. First of all, Hall of Famer Chris Carter in the news, not for a reason he's proud of. What's going on there, Jim?
One of my favorite stories ever. What they did was they had this guy show up at the rookie symposium and give advice to young players. And his advice to the rookies was, a couple of years back, have a fall guy. Make sure you have a fall guy. So what that is not only, guys, some of the worst advice ever, it's like borderline criminal. He's essentially telling them, obstruct the justice. They bring this guy in, he puts on his Hall of Fame jacket, and the message is not, stay out of trouble. We know you're going to get into trouble, and make sure when it happens, blame it on somebody else.
That sounds like pretty good advice.
Oh, great advice. Great advice, and like I said, borderline criminal. Again, it's a Hall of Famer with that hideous yellow jacket on, not your drunk uncle. I mean, that's like me telling you guys, hey, one of you guys is going to get arrested. We know that. When it happens, run Sanchez in front of the bus. Have Sanchez
well,
throw the
done.
Grenade.
That's good. Done. Don't worry about that. All right, I have two things to say about this. One is the video is awesome because you see who's standing next to him on stage in front of all the rookies just laughing his ass off is Warren Sapp, who maybe could have used a fall guy when he got caught with all those hookers in Phoenix, first of all.
Right.
And second of all, I was listening to sports radio this week in Seattle, Jim, and former Seahawk Marcus Trufant was on. And they were asking him about this, and he said, this conversation is had by every NFL player. This guy just made the mistake of making it in front of the mic. Everyone knows somebody in your crew is going down. If the cops are pulling you over, you weren't driving. If somebody finds drugs on the bus, they weren't yours. Don't throw me on SportsCenter to take the rap on this. One of my friends who's not famous is going to take the rap for that. He said this is common knowledge. This is everywhere, all the time, always. This guy just shouldn't have said it in public.
Well, exactly. Nor should he have put on his yellow Hall of Fame jacket and said it in public. And it's not like something that just kind of accidentally slipped out. That was a big chunk of the speech. That was his message. Once again, not, hey, fellas, there's going to be a lot of temptation. You have to make good decisions. What he's saying is there's a lot of temptation. I know you're going to make bad decisions. A lot of you are going to go to the hole. When it happens, have a chump in your crew fall on a grenade. It's a bad, bad look, and it's bad advice.
Speaking of the NFL, we're halfway through the preseason now. You were talking on your show yesterday about how some of the players may be not so jazzed about playing these early games.
You know, I was trying to think of one word to describe the preseason, and I had a former NFLer, Scott Fujita, come on, and he said it's crappy, and he called it a travesty, and it sounds about right. I mean, guys, the only thing worse than having all these meaningless preseason games and having the fans pay full price for that garbage is seeing some of their stars go down and lose their entire year. I mean, I understand these fat cat owners are not going to leave even a nickel on the table ever, but it's time to ask themselves, is it worth all that extra money that they're never going to spend anyway to risk losing a guy they need to get to the Super Bowl? I mean, it's a joke. Jordy Nelson's already down. And the Packers are going to need that guy. You don't need four games in a preseason, nor do they need to jam us for full prices. It's a bad, bad deal. In fact, he's right. It's crappy, and it's a travesty.
So you don't think that this playing experience, especially for the new guys, is helpful to get them ready for the season? I mean, how are they supposed to get warmed up for the real season?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a little bit, but not four games. They definitely do not need four games. I mean, they're putting these guys in the line of fire. If you want to give them a couple of games or even have these joint practices where there's the likelihood that maybe a brawl takes place. I mean, even in these brawls, guys don't get hurt, but guys are getting hurt in these games. So, no, the coaches will say we need to evaluate. But what this is about the owners getting richer and richer and richer and no, they don't need four games.
What did you think on the hit on Bradford, by the way? Did you think that was a dirty hit or do you think it was legit?
No, I think it's fine. I think that if the guy's going to be out there, to me, it's not on the player. Terrell Suggs is, he's a guy who plays on the edge and he's a real aggressive guy. But if you're going to run a quarterback who has not played an entire year and he's had two knee surgeries and you're going to ask him to run the read option, that's what's going to happen. I mean, the guy's not going to not bring the quarterback down. So I don't buy that at all. Don't put that guy in that position. That's not on the defender. That's on the coach for calling that play. And Chip Kelly should own that. Not a dirty hit.
All right, let's turn our attention to baseball. I hadn't heard the name Curt Schilling in a while. I know he's been crazy in the past. He got even crazier this week. What's going on?
It's only a matter of time before Curt Schilling did something like this. And trust me, it's only a matter of time before he does it again. Yeah. This is who this guy is. And he says wacky things. He says regrettable things. But comparing Muslims to Nazis is truly reprehensible, even for crazy Schill. And I love how it took the guy maybe 10 minutes before he tried to delete the tweet. As we all know, the internet is in ink. You can't delete anything. It's there forever. And then it took ESPN maybe 10 more minutes before they suspended him. I'd love to say that this is a one-off, but if you look at this guy's Facebook page, this is exactly where this guy lives. However, look at the bright side. At least Chris Carter found a fall guy. It's Curt Schilling.
What goes on in the mind of these athletes, Jim? Look, you're a public figure, and you managed to keep your nose clean and not get in any kind of trouble. I'm sure you have thoughts and impulses that you'd like to share with the world, but you're a smart enough guy to realize that, hey, I've got a business to run. It's going to come back to haunt me. What makes Curt Schilling go through with hitting publish on this? He has to know there's going to be blowback from it.
Yeah, I've thought about this a long time, and I've asked myself the exact same question, exactly what's going on in this guy's dome. You know, not that I want to get up there and take a look around and see what's rattling around in his head, but the only thing I can come up with is, you know, unscientifically, this cat's crazy. I mean, he's just whack. He's crazy. He takes something off a website, and I have no idea what website that he got that from, and he just runs with it? He just reposts that and puts his own comment? I have no idea what that guy is thinking. One thing to think something that whack, but something totally different to put it up online in social media and try and stand behind it. The guy, he's out of his mind.
Most people just from self-preservation would understand, hey, that's not going to go well. Maybe I think it. I'm not going to.
Yeah, even if I believe it, and even if it's true, by the way, I'm not the guy who needs to be out in front of these statistics comparing Muslims to Nazis. There's no upside in this for me.
No, there is not. And most rational thinking people don't think it to begin with, much less think it and then act on it. I have no idea, but I'm not going to say this is the last we've seen of this guy, but I would imagine it's probably the last we've seen of this guy, at least on that level. I mean, he's going to do something again. He always does. You can set your clock to it. Even for him, that's pretty reprehensible.
And how sad must he be that he's not going to be now part of the coverage of the Little League World Series? Oh, wait, he's probably fine with that. He couldn't have been looking forward to that much anyway, could he, man?
I don't know, man. That thing is on every single day for hours and hours and weeks and weeks. You guys watch that?
I don't. I don't watch that, no.
I do.
Somebody does.
I do. I think it's exciting seeing these kids going up against these other teams and getting to know the parents in the stands. I enjoy it.
Hey, Allie, what's up?
Do you watch it, Jim?
No, you know, I've got two kids that play travel baseball, and I get to see that every single weekend for hours and hours and hours. It's tough enough. I hope my kids aren't listening. It's tough enough watching your own kids. I don't need to watch anybody else's kids.
Boom. There you go. See? He calls it.
I love you, boys.
Jim Rohn.
I love you, boys.
AM 980, The Beast, from 9 till noon today. Look for Jim on Showtime. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next time.
You dudes are awesome. Bye. Peace.
I know it's not time for your employee review yet, Whitney Cummings, you missed last week. Well, did you have something else going on?
Was I supposed to come in last week?
We didn't see. We haven't seen you for like 3 weeks.
I know. That's right. I feel like I live here now. I'm always here.
You come in on Thursdays.
I come in pretty much every Thursday.
That's what I thought.
I think I should get a promotion by now. I think I should be able to phone in remotely.
Sure.
No.
We at least got to get you a key card so you can let yourself into the building.
I know it's embarrassing.
Tedious going out to get you.
Today, and the guy was like, "Are you a
publicist? I was like, no. I might be my backup plan, though.
Wait, in the lobby?
Yeah, no, the guy in the front.
I know. I was just here. Come on. Well, listen, let me get the business out of the way here. Whitney Cummings at the Broad Stage in Santa Monica taping her HBO special. This is a big deal, kids, and it's going to be this weekend, Friday night and Saturday night. Tickets are available at WhitneyCummings.com or TheBroadStage.com. Now, we're not familiar with the Broad Stage. What kind of venue is that, Whitney?
Well, they hate women. They call women broads still.
For starters.
And my comedy's so broad, they renamed it. I decided essentially that I was going to, since I tour so much, and what I started realizing was people in Los Angeles didn't get to see my hour special because I would tour, and then normally we shoot our specials in like Chicago or somewhere else to make it exciting. And I was like, why don't I start shooting my specials in LA so the people who support me every night when I'm bombing with new material at the Comedy Store get to finally see the polished version of it. So I shot my last special in Irvine, and then I'm shooting this one in Santa Monica. It's at, I think it's Santa Monica College. I always like to shoot at theaters that no one else has really shot in, so it's kind of a small, cute theater. I'm not sure why there are still tickets left, jerks, but I got word this week that there's still tickets left, so I don't know if in Los Angeles it's just like you guys get to see me for free so often at the Comedy Store. That I see her at Whole Foods every day in her flip-flops and sports bra and Crocs. So I don't know. But maybe it's because it's in Santa Monica. There's still tickets left, but which is kind of embarrassing and insulting. Screw all of
it. It's going to be sold out. You're going to be fine. This announcement is going to put you over the top. TheBroadStage.com or WhitneyCummings.com for Friday or Saturday night to see Whitney doing her HBO special.
With all right, cameras, you'll see me doing comedy in heels. Which is a once every 2 year thing when I shoot specials.
Yeah, you don't see Whitney dressed as an adult very often.
Not very. I know. I'm like Carrot Top at the gym.
You basically look like most college students who roll out of bed 10 minutes before class starts, and
I just go
out your pajamas,
wearing a bra. This is bad.
Can I tell you what you don't look like?
What?
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
In any way.
Well, you know how he was. Like, he's always in like workout clothes and like tank tops.
Yeah, that's parachute pants. Still,
I know. That's what I'm wearing. I'm wearing these are hammer pants.
Hammer pants.
Nice. They hang low so my balls can breathe. And
do you know Carrot Top, by the way?
I don't know Carrot Top. I did. I wrote for the Bob Saget roast. That was the last roast I had written for before I was a performer on the roast. And he was there, and we wrote all these really brutal jokes about his, you know, the obvious things.
Yeah,
and he got really upset. He started crying. And
no.
Carrot Top did?
Yeah, he was real. I mean, it's hard to tell the expression on his face, I guess.
Yeah, it's true.
That's what I think I saw. But yeah, it really made me feel bad because comedians, all we do is sort of rib each other and bust each other's balls.
Especially in that setting.
I know, but he's in Vegas sequestered. He's not hanging out with comedians every night at the Comedy Store. You know, he's not made of Teflon like most of us.
Now, that is interesting to me. And the only reason I asked if you knew Carrot Top is because I was wondering if you knew if he legitimately has some sort of body dysmorphia where he feels like he cannot be buff enough,
because
it seems like that's the direction he's
headed. I mean, it's tricky. It's like sort of the metaphor of, it's like the body version of becoming a comedian. You mentally become a comedian to be able to be tough and fight people and overcome some kind of whatever. And I think I don't know, a lot of female comedians had it too, you know. I mean,
but being you're like that, you spend pretty much every day in the gym.
Yeah,
a little bit of a gym rat, truth be told. I guess anyone who's ever seen me knows that. Or maybe the complete opposite.
I think we all have some kind of body dysmorphia, but I mean, I use like 7 filters just to post one Instagram photo, so that can't be healthy either.
Speaking of that, this is something else that happened since the last time you read that I wanted to ask you about. Mm-mm. You were on with, what are those whores' names? Hoda and Kathy Lee.
Say Donald Trump.
No, Hoda and Kathy Lee. You were on with the Today Show talking about something called the New Face.
I don't know how this happened. This is so weird.
How did this happen?
This is how you get me and how they get. It's so early in the morning that I still like have some Ambien left in my brain and in my bloodstream, and I like have no idea what I'm saying. And then like I walk away, and then like
all of a sudden you've just shot an infomercial.
I have 40 emails from my publicist that are like, "What is wrong with you?" I was on Hoda and Kathy Lee. Not only was it like super early in the morning. They have alcohol there. That's real alcohol that they're drinking.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm half on
morning. I'm like, not even awake. And they start asking, like, she said, Kathy Lear, I was like, did you get work done? I was like, what? And I was like, yeah, no, I gained some weight on purpose because I think you guys probably saw me during the time I was doing a sitcom. I just had, I was so stressed out. I lost weight. It was too skinny. It was not cute. I feel like there's this thing where, you know, you can't be skinny enough in Hollywood. And even if you are emaciated, if you see that actress on TV, they actually kind of just look normal. So I think it just.
I guess. I feel like sometimes we're the only ones that go, hey, sticks.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Not really a good look.
I don't think it's a good look. Guys aren't into it. I mean, look at the body type everyone wants to sleep with. It's Kim Kardashian. There's a reason that guys think she's hot. And I feel like there's this fallacy, this sort of myth going around that guys want women to be as skinny as possible. And my thing with at that point, I was like, if you think I'm attractive at 100 pounds, you're gay, first of all.
Okay.
Which is fine, but, like, date a man. And I was just so scared. And I didn't even realize it because stylists give you clothes and it fits. And they're like, everyone's like, you look amazing. You look perfect. And so I guess speaking of body dysmorphia. And then finally, I sort of like was able to step back after I was off TV a while. And I was like, I look crazy. Like, and I'm a bad role model.
At that point, did you say, I need to gain...
Felt like my face was like gone. Like I was like people were always
sunken
like,
in face.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. And everyone was like, you have such amazing cheekbones. Like nobody is ever just like, hey, you need to put on 10 pounds. and I was like, I wish someone had because I saw myself on television. I was like, oh, that is not a cute look. I look like I'm passing away. And I was just like, oh, I was tired. And I was like, this isn't working. So I was like, oh, I get to just go eat bacon and do lunges for a couple months. And then my face filled out and I feel like I... subtracted 10 years from my face.
How quickly were you able to gain the weight? Because that's life's cruel joke. It takes forever to lose.
Not for me. It was
five
not.
Days. To
it
gain.
Was not hard. Okay. I'm not one of those people who's like, I just can't put on weight no matter what I do. No, it was very easy, and I stopped working out 5 days a week, and sort of, you know, Netflix happened.
Wait, so Kathy Lee called you on gaining weight and looking fabulous?
Well, no, yes, she did. No, okay. She was just like, did you get work done? I was like, no. Actually, the easier thing that I did, and probably cheaper, is I just like started eating carbs, and I stopped eating salads. It was like awesome. And
we don't know if it's cheaper yet. Yeah, depending on how many carbs you continue
okay,
to
okay, that's
eat.
True. I might have given myself diabetes right. or something. It could be in the long run.
So the new face is not a product?
Sorry, just the new about- face is, it's like a, they sent it to me, like someone sent it to me, and it was a, it's like a little electric current thing that you use, and it sort of, it's supposed to electrocute the that's a bad word.
I'm out.
I don't think electrocute is what you're going for.
That's not the right word.
I think maybe stimulate?
Stimulate. Okay. It's called microcurrent. And okay. I know that facialists do it, but I have an amazing facialist at Carison in Los Angeles, and she would do it, but I don't have 2 hours a week to go in. So it's this little machine you use that just stimulates your muscles. Looks like a sex toy. Don't carry it in your purse. It looks crazy.
Are you positive it's not a sex toy?
I'm not positive, but I don't really want to electrocute that area. Yeah, I'm not that desensitized. Yeah, I haven't watched that much porn that I need to be doing that sort of.
And it does what for your face I can't believe this is the question, but it does what for your face when you rub it on your face?
When you put a little bit, it's in my car. I wish I brought it in. It's like you put this lube on. It's like KY jelly you put on your face. It's not that brand.
All right.
I really don't want to be their spokesperson, please. And then you put it, it's a little machine that has like metal on it, and it's like it's a little zaps, but you don't even feel it. And
does it stimulate the collagen?
Maybe.
So it kind of
Google it, guys. I think it's supposed to train your muscles to go in a different direction or something. I don't know.
Well, that's
people
crazy.
People seem
talk.
To think I look good, so it must, maybe it's psychosomatic.
Your skin's amazing.
Thank
so
you.
Whatever you're doing,
I mean,
doing
look,
it.
That's every comedian. That's the first prerequisite. Have great
Have
skin.
Great
don't
skin.
Be funny. No joke.
Absolutely.
Come look at my skin on Friday and Saturday.
For a woman who literally was in bed asleep 20 minutes ago, I think you look fantastic.
I'm still asleep. But here's the other thing. This is important to note is that, I'm so afraid that I sound like a clinical narcissist, but high def television, which is what you guys are all watching now.
Yeah.
Stay on the radio. This is where it's at.
Yes.
Because high def television hates women and it picks up more than the human eye can see. So when I'm shooting the special this weekend, the cameras are super close to my face and they pick up things that your eye would not pick up. So I never thought I'd have to care about my skin or that kind of stuff. And also, but as a comedian, you just age. I mean, I've been on the road. I was just in Schaumburg, Palm Beach. I'm like on JetBlue every day. I'm like, I don't ever get oxygen. All I eat is like Auntie Anne's pretzels and Sorbaro pizza.
That's a great diet.
I should. I know.
I like that.
Like, I get no vitamins. I have scurvy. So I'm constantly going from one Howard Johnson to another. So it's like, I'm not like this actress that gets to like sleep all day and get massages and facials. Like, I'm normally getting, you know, felt up in airport security. So I'm
all right, so,
so
this
tired.
Is potentially your fans' last chance to see Kevin's while she's alive.
Here's the other thing. I'm taking a very, very long hiatus from stand-up after this special. Yeah, it's my third special. I'm working on a series and a movie that I wrote with Neil Brennan, really funny comedian. And we're
he's
make.
Coming in tomorrow.
Oh, no way!
He is.
Neil's my best friend. We wrote a movie together. And
all right, hold that thought, because I want to hear more about that, and we need the update on your dog's testicles when we return.
Oh, that's right.
No, we don't.
This weekend, Friday and Saturday night, some tickets are still available, but they're going fast at WhitneyCummings.com or TheBroadStage.com, filming the HBO special in Santa Monica at Broad Stage. Buy those tickets. It's going to be a great show, and you may never see this woman again. We'll be right back.
K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, that's us. It's 8:39.
If only there were a timer or something, some way to count down so we would know when we were on. Mr. Guestroom.
Doesn't exist.
Our friend Whitney Cummings in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see her on stage in Santa Monica this weekend taping her HBO special. A few seats available now at WhitneyCummings.com or TheBroadStage.com. We're having so much fun with comedians this week. We had Gerard Carmichael in yesterday.
Whitney,
do you know him?
Yeah, of course.
What an impressive young man. So funny. So nice. We enjoyed the heck out of him. His show debuted last night. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it.
Oh, no. How was it?
Really good.
Oh, good.
Really good.
Oh, good.
And then tomorrow, we're having apparently your best friend, Neil Brennan, in the 8 o'clock hour. He'll be here tomorrow. Now,
Neil is the smartest, funniest, cool. He's like, he's just the best. You know, he co-created the Chappelle Show. Brilliant, brilliant.
That's right.
Brilliant stand-up.
And you've known him forever?
I've known Neil forever, but we got really, like, tight within the last couple of years, and we wrote a movie together based on a book called The Female Brain, and we're going to make
short book.
Yeah.
Are you proud of that, Bean?
Yeah,
no, I'm not.
Enjoy. You have to live the rest of your life knowing you made that.
I really shouldn't attempt to do comedy when there's a professional in the room anyway.
That's actually
Had you ever written a movie before?
I have written movies before, but the movie business is such a, you know, it's like imploding, you know, so it's, I wrote a studio movie. Who knows if that'll ever happen, but then Neil and I just kind of buckled down and wrote it together, and it was such a blast. He's the best.
Does it help the writing process to have somebody else there?
Always. You know, we kind of decide, the way that the movie works is kind of about sort of the different traits that women have neurologically, like hypervigilance and stuff like that, and how it manifests in modern day times. And it's like five different stories of five different couples, and we kind of just sort of acted it out together. We would, like, you know, figure out what the scene was and then just pretend, you know, just improvise together. It was so fun to sort of be in a relationship with him and fight, and then we just wrote it all down, and then we're like, okay, we're cool, right? Are we together? I can't tell. So it's all my favorite thing about being in a relationship is fighting, so it sort of negated the need to it's like my version of sex. So so then I was like, great, I can stay single and fight with you.
Now, I'm not a creative person or in show business, so I can't really speak to this, Whitney, but the impression I get is that you talk about the movie business being crazy, especially for a comedian who has a point of view. It seems like there are 50 people above you in the process that are lined up to try to squash that point of view and make whatever it is you're saying palatable to the masses. And that's why when something like Amy Schumer's movie comes along that really seems like an Amy Schumer movie, it seems so refreshing.
Yeah.
Because we're actually seeing what she wanted to put in the thing without everybody ruining it before it got to us.
Right. I mean, no one's trying to ruin anything. I mean, you know, Amy's, I think, worked out really well. And anyone who works with Judd Apatow is going to, you know, be protected because he's so fiercely, I think, protective and really fostering voices. Lena Dunham also, even though that was HBO, which, you know, they really want to celebrate individual sort of offbeat voices, etc. But no one's trying. You know, I think that when I went through sort of a couple network processes, I was like, oh, I'm at war. They want to make a good show. No one wants their show to get canceled. No one wants people to not watch. Everyone is truly doing the best they can and trying to make a good show.
But some of them aren't very good at that.
Well, or it's like just they want it to work so badly that they're just over their fear. There's fear, a lot of fear mongering. Like, and I think there's a lot of this. I think being a comedian is so useful because I get to go around the country and I get to look at my Twitter at replies and Instagram, and you see like people are funny, people are smart. You know, I always have people yelling out at my shows other jokes, and I'm like, that was funny. Like, you know, people are quick and don't do that on Friday and Saturday, jerks.
If you want to be on the HBO special,
yeah, exactly.
Shout out your own joke. That's
bring some of your own material.
I meet people after the show. The memes that people make and the things people write back on Twitter, I operate from the place of people are smart and operate at the...
That's not where networks are operating from, though.
That's not... Like, I think networks are always like, you know, looking at data from who buys what Doritos from at what area of the... Whatever. So I think a lot of times networks are like, well, people aren't going to get that joke. It's too smart. And I'm like, yes, they will. I don't operate from the place of people are idiots.
But the people that make those decisions also aren't on the road like you are.
That's
trying
a good point.
Stuff
they're
out.
Not, yes, and they're not...
They don't get the same kind of feedback.
I know who I'm making these shows for. And it's also, if you try to please everyone, you're going to please no one. So if you want a show to be successful, you need 5 to 8 million people to like it, not the 350 million people in America. You're never going to get all those people.
Right.
And I think I think it's changing because there's so many. I mean, there's like 50 shows on Netflix now. There's so many niche shows. Like, you don't have to try to appease the lowest common denominator or the largest sort of quadrant, whatever.
Yeah, there. I mean, except for The Walking Dead and sports, there's not much that America unites to watch anymore.
Well, no, there's certainly no imperative to watch stuff. So it's like sports is really the only thing, or maybe getting called your lottery numbers or something. But like,
are you going to be in the movie too? Or is it way too early to know that?
Yeah, it's probably way too early to know. I might fire myself, which has happened before.
You're going to say you're looking too old.
Yeah, exactly. She's way too old to play the part. We need to electrocute her face more.
We need a younger person to play me.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's like, you know, with sort of all the different outlets to do it, I think there's just more room for more voices. And
that's exciting. That's awesome. Congratulations. That sounds like a super fun process to write that.
Yeah, Neil is the funniest and the best, and Neil and I have sort of been through a lot together. He's sort of my work husband.
We're excited to have him tomorrow. All right, real quick, we need a dog update. This is the first visit this year we don't have it brought in.
I think it's called a pup date.
A pup date, thank you!
All right, the way you told it earlier, we can't really air. So
I'm going to wake up.
No worries.
I have a dog. It's half Great Dane. By the way, is girls having dogs like the new girls having cats? Is this unattractive to men?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all, no. Everybody loves dogs.
Okay, thank God. So I have a Great Dane.
Is this the same Great Dane that...
You
is this the same
him.
Great Dane that murdered your car last time?
My car. That's a really good point. Excreted all over the inside of my car.
While you were doing 10 minutes on stage at a
gave it a
club.
Paint job, yes, from the inside. And then this poor dog has such elephantitis of the testicles. Can I say that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's such giant testicles that when he does his number two, the number two hits his testicles and he's getting skin infections.
That sounds like a defect.
It can't be good.
No.
But they are so giant. I have these testicles all over my house and I'm scared of them. Like, in the night I wake up, I'm like, oh, what's that figure in the doorway? It's just these the giant
testicles, right?
Yes. It's like this hanging punching bag. It's awful. Hashtag Brad Garrett. And so I don't know what to do. He's not supposed to get neutered until late January because he has to keep growing, but we might have to get rid of these things sooner because they really are an albatross.
Well, you could make them earrings.
And I have to put topical ointment on them. I mean, it really is.
That does not sound fun.
Your life is so sexy, Whitney.
I know. It's really so something. Sexy. So come smell me this weekend.
All right. This weekend, Friday and Saturday. Hey, a listener has called us to suggest that the Broad Theater in Santa Monica, where you're taping this weekend, is correctly pronounced the Broad Theater. Is there any possibility he's right?
God, 100% right.
Okay, because I don't know.
Maybe that's why I saw tickets available.
It is spelled B-R-O-A-D. I mean, that's
right. Eli Broad, thank you, caller, and get a job. the Eli Broad Theater is what it's called. It's not the Broad Theater. I'm sorry that I can phonetically read, but it is Broad. Eli Broad.
It should be Broad, though. We can all agree on that.
It's going to be Broad after you see my comedy in it.
Friday and Saturday night, tickets available now at WhitneyCummings.com or apparently the Broad.
The Broad Theater. The Broad Stage. People are saying they're having trouble buying tickets. It's not my...
Maybe this is part of it. But you're going to have a great show, and it's going to be fun for everybody, and we'd love you, and it's great to see you again, and we'll do it again, okay?
Thank you, guys. I love you.
See you next week.
I'm retired. retiring from stand-up. So next time I see you, it will be to promote my podcast.
All right.
I'm joking.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. By the way, how delightful is Whitney Cummings?
Oh, she's awesome.
I love her so much.
She's a pumpkin spice latte is what she is.
She certainly is, by the way. Nope. That's the highest compliment a man can pay to a woman.
I don't think Ralph is saying it that way, though, because he does not like pumpkin.
What's your problem with the pumpkin spice? Because a lot of people get very excited this time of year when we're getting close.
F it.
Why?
Because it's...
Because it tastes so good?
No. Because
yes, Bean, because it tastes so good.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how could anyone have any other opinion about the pumpkin spice latte? Because it tastes great. What's your problem with it?
It's just the pumpkin. Everything has to be pumpkin spice flavored now. It's just everywhere. It's pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin spice ice cream, pumpkin spice M&Ms were unveiled this week. Oh, pumpkin spice your ass. How about that?
How about that flavor? At spots.
Enough with everything being flavored everything. I don't need 24 different kinds of Oreos. I don't need pumpkin spice and pecan pie M&Ms. Just let it be.
But then don't buy those flavors. What's
don't
wrong with those
them.
Flavors existing for other people
don't
who
make
do
them.
Like
How about
them?
That? Well, no one likes them. It's freaking brainwashing. They just think, I must buy pumpkin spice things because I am a zombie.
Do you think Starbucks would roll them out every year even though they don't sell it? I mean, honestly,
look,
they must be popular, they must
one
be
thing.
Successful.
That was one thing, fine. Okay, that was your thing. But not everything has to be pumpkin spice now.
Okay.
With your pumpkin spice candles and your ice cream pumpkin spice cheesecake, your pumpkin spice cream cheese, F yourself!
Allie, where are you on the pumpkin spice?
Love all things pumpkin spice.
Well, there you go.
Pumpkin spice facials, pumpkin spice ravioli.
Whoa.
No, it's at spas. They do that.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Screw you, America.
America's
just a big, fat, blobby consumer of pumpkin spice. That's what America is now. Make me sick. You make me sick, America, sitting there with your fat ass eating your pumpkin spice everything and your candy corn Oreos. Go kill yourself, America.
Wow.
You're just
cranky.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
And then poor Howie Mandel.
What
right?
What are you talking about?
Ooh, he's in trouble.
Now what?
I'm just, America, shut up. First off, America, stop eating all the pumpkin spice.
Okay.
And second of all, just shut up.
Okay. Well, you're laying down the law, man,
well, it's
today.
Just enough's enough.
Just everyone shut up.
Let me tell you what happened.
All right.
Howie Mandel does a really, I think, a nice job on America's Got Talent, which is not easy because there's just a lot of douchebags standing up doing dumb things.
And
he's very talented, very entertaining, and he's actually engaging and very personable, and he seems to connect with the people who compete on that show. And he and Stern seem to get along. I mean, he does a nice job over there. So he's watching a guy, a contestant called the Regurgitator, on Tuesday night. Okay.
I don't want to see that.
He's watching the Regurgitator.
Right.
He's a guy who swallows objects and then gags them back up again. I'm sure many of them were pumpkin spice flavored. So he's doing his act on the stage. And he's bringing the stuff up that he swallows down. And Howie says, "You, sir, make bulimia entertaining." Which is a freaking funny joke about a guy who's gagging stuff up out of his stomach. Well, as you can imagine... the S hit the fan because there was a barrage of outraged people who said, "How dare you, sir, make fun of people suffering from bulimia?" Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing, America. He was pointing fingers at skinny little teenage girls who have an eating disorder and mocking them. No, of course, that's not what he was doing. He was making an offhand joke on a live TV show about somebody who was choking up various objects. No harm at all, obviously intended. And yet now he is getting raked over the coals by the National Association of Vomiters or whoever, whatever organization is upset.
That's the best organization I've ever heard of.
And this poor bastard now had to issue an apology. Here's what he said.
Oh, dear God.
"I made a comment earlier. It's live television. I wasn't thinking. I made light of bulimia, which is a very serious eating disorder and a mental health issue. I deal with mental health all the time. I did something stupid, and I apologize."
Well, I'm sad that he apologized, but I understand in the world we live in now, you kind of have to make it go away.
"I should never make light of it. I apologize to anybody that was offended. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes.
He wasn't making fun of bulimia in any way, shape, or form.
Of course he wasn't. And I'm so tired of the pee. I'm offended. I'm outraged. So what? So what? Okay, you're offended. You're outraged. I heard you. This is what I say to my five-year-old. When she has a problem that's pointless and we need to move on, I say, I hear you. I hear that you're upset about that, but we really need to go now and get in the car. And she gets over it, and we move on, we get in the car, and we live our lives. So everyone who's outraged about Howie Mandel's bulimia joke, I hear you. I hear you. It's okay. I understand. I hear you. I'm validating your opinion. But so what?
This is a classic example of where we just need to say noted and then just go back to our lives.
So right? Everybody's supposed to jump through hoops on me because you are outraged, person, whoever you are, or you're offended or you're upset, so we all need to change our behavior? Stop it.
Stop it.
So shut up, America. Right?
There is no guaranteed right to not be offended, nor should there be.
Look, I understand people get offended, and people are entitled to be upset about what they're upset about. But what they shouldn't expect is that other people have to change their behavior because you personally are offended. You are a minority. Whatever thing offends you, you're a minority. Most people aren't bothered by it. I guarantee you most people were not bothered by Howie Mandel's bulimia joke. I'm sorry that it struck you the wrong way and it hit a chord with you. And I understand if you're a person who is suffering from that or has a loved one who's suffering from that, that might be a sore subject. But you have to have the clarity to recognize Howie Mandel was not making fun of you or your friend. He was just making a silly joke about a guy who was throwing up on a goofy little talent show. That's all he was doing. And if you choose to be outraged, if you choose to be offended or outraged, that's fine. But don't punish Howie Mandel for it.
You offend me on every level.
Mel was
just fun. Want you to know that your whole relationship with me, everything about you, was an offense to me and offended me and pissed me off.
I think Mel's offended. Mel, do you like pumpkin spice?
You offend my maleness, right. My masculinity, okay. My being, my soul.
Oh wow, he is deeply offended.
He's more angry than you were.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Howie that he got dragged into that. I really do too.
Aaron Paul's 36 years old today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Sarah Chalk, she's 39 years old today. Love her. Paul Rubens, better known as P. Mother Lovin' Wee, Mother Effin' Herman. Did you know that's his official name?
I did not realize
it's
that.
It's on his birth certificate. He's 63 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I feel like I'm about to step off a cliff, man. I have no idea what's waiting for me at the bottom. Kevin and Bean listener Brian reached out via the email the other day with a story that, look, I'm not the most emotional guy in the world, but it really warmed my heart. He won a prize from K-Rock, you guys, that changed his life. Now, everything I've learned about Brian since then has seemed kind of sketchy, and I'm not sure what's true and what's not true, but let's get him on the phone and find out what the deal is. Brian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourselves?
Good, thank you.
We're terrific. We appreciate you coming on so much. So you sent an email. Tell me tell our listeners what happened 6 years ago that involved K-Rock that put you on a new path.
So about 6 years ago, I won a bike on the radio during the Fierce Five at 9. During that time, I was about 280 pounds. And in the span of about a year, I lost over 100 pounds. To where I am now.
Wow.
Wow, good for you.
You lost 100 pounds.
From riding a bike, you lost 100 pounds?
And only riding a bike. Like, I never did anything else. Like, I was a complete couch potato. I'm not even going to lie.
Okay. Did you change your eating habits at all, or just biking helped?
I did, like, start making, like, some healthier choices. Definitely added, like, more veggies, more fruit.
But why do you suppose that is? I mean, if you're a fat guy and you win a bike, I would think you'd want to still keep being a fat guy and just sell the bike for food.
Bean.
Well, the part of that is, you know, on both sides of my family, diabetes is really high. Mm-hmm. And I was on my way to college also. And so I figured, I was like, you know what? I should probably try to make some changes in my life.
Wow.
Because there's nothing wrong with diabetes, but it's something that you have to take care of and be okay with after a while. And I was like, you know what, Brian? Try to stay healthy, you know. And on top of that, I think 5 years after that, when I graduated from college, like, my dad couldn't make it to my graduation because he found out he had diabetes and was getting one of his toes amputated.
Oh.
And so I was like, you know what, Brian? Like, you don't want to be, you don't want that to happen to you for your kids or for your other brothers and sisters that are going to, that are still young.
Wow, that's a powerful message. Here's what Brian says in his email. From that moment forward, talking about winning the bike from Nicole on the Furious 5 at Night, okay. I was granted the ability and the choice to be able to ride my new bike and live a healthier lifestyle. Since then, I've lost over 100 pounds, and I can say that K-Rock helped me find my passion. Okay, so the story doesn't end there. So you've kept the weight off, and you're still healthy. You don't have that bike anymore. You passed it on to someone else who needed it. You're riding a different bike now. And what are you doing with this bicycle now that's trying to help other people?
So now, essentially, I became like a big cyclist. you know, my leisure rides usually go from Long Beach to San Diego, up to Santa Barbara.
Did you say leisure ride? Leisure. That's a leisure ride? What?
Lord.
Do you not have a car, Brian?
No, I don't.
You just take the bike everywhere?
I take the bike everywhere. Public transportation seems to do the work, the job for me more than enough, and I save on a car payment, insurance.
Okay. All right. All right. So you're riding the bike now. What do you need our help with now? Because I feel like we've already done enough for you.
You know, more or less, it was, you know, trying to get the word out on the bike ride that I was doing from San Francisco to L.A. You know, it's a fundraiser that I did about 6-7 years ago. I raised over $3,000 and rode my bike from San Francisco to LA in 7 days.
Okay. Now, and you're doing that again coming up, and that's what you're looking for sponsorships for?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing.
Now, we looked at the information, and it says May 31st through June 6th. That would appear to be like 11 months away.
We're really getting a jump on this for you, right?
It seems like maybe.
What? Wait, you need our help for this coming May, Brian?
Yes. Well, like, I'm starting to try to fundraise early so I can raise as much as I need to now and so I can just only focus on my biking.
Okay. And how does it work? I know we put a link to your page for the AIDS Life Cycle. We put a link to your page on the Kevin Bean Facebook page and through Kevin Bean Twitter as well so people can go to it so they don't have to remember your name and find it. So what do people do? Do they sponsor you per mile or do they just make a donation in your name or how's it work?
Yeah, so it could be a one-time donation of whatever amount they want it to be. And then, you know, I keep most of my sponsors informed. Like, I'll email them about some of my biking rides or when the ride's about to begin so that they're always with me. And so essentially, like, I never leave them so that you know that the miles that I'm doing actually are getting done. And it's not just money being just thrown somewhere. Like, I'll show results and I'll make sure that my sponsors are with me every pedal of the way.
Brian, I'm not sure that you can hear this on your end, but it sounds to me like you're playing a didgeridoo at the same time you're talking. Is that possible?
No, it's not.
Okay. There's some weird kind of sound effect happening on the phone. I'm not sure what it is either.
No.
All right, no. So Brian is 24 years old.
I've got a bicycle from San Francisco to L.A. and play a didgeridoo.
It's a 545-mile bike ride, you guys. Look, I know people who don't want to make that drive in one day, all right? And he's doing it on a bicycle. It's going to take him a week, but he's trying to raise some money. What's the charity we're working for here, Brian?
So it's for both the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center and the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. And essentially what all the money raised does is help provide preventative service for people who are still HIV negative and also help provide medication and other services for folks who are positive who otherwise wouldn't be able to buy medication or see a doctor and stuff like that.
That's great. Sounds like a fantastic cause. Again, we have it linked from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you'd like to make a donation or find out more about the AIDS Life Cycle ride next May. Brian, will you play us a tune on the didgeridoo before we say goodbye? Can you play a White Stripes song or something for us to take us out?
If I could, I would, but I don't know. All
right.
Didgeridoo.
Well, congratulations on the phone call that changed your life. I'm so happy you're living a healthier lifestyle. It seems like you're really a nice guy and you're enjoying it and you're doing some things for other people, and that's very cool of you, and we appreciate you getting in contact with the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, thank you for having me. It really does mean a lot to me because it has been a part of like the K-Rock family, and K-Rock has actually helped me in more than one way than just like the bicycle ride, and so I'm happy that I became the little rocker boy that I did because I started listening to K-Rock.
That's awesome.
You're
thanks,
saying
dude.
Some amazingly nice things, and all I can hear is the didgeridoo. I feel bad, like I can't focus. All right, thank you, Brian. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock at 9:38.
Just thinking about Lister Brian we just had on the phone. How long would it take you guys to ride a bike 545 miles?
Yeah, that's stupid.
2-3 years?
Yeah, right?
That's stupid.
I'm amazed at the things that people are able to
do. The goal of life is to get from place to place faster.
That's
the entire goal of life. When you're a baby, you just sit there. You can't move anywhere. Then you learn how to crawl. And then you get up and you toddle. You're unsteady on your legs, but you try to go forward. Then you walk, and then at some point you run. Then you get in a car and you drive. The whole point of life is to go faster.
What did he call
ride a bike for 500 miles.
What did he call it when he rides to San Diego? Did he say it was a leisure ride?
My
yeah.
leisure drive. No.
And I think about this, too, because, you know, I'm out sometimes driving to 7-Eleven or something, and I'll see a guy jogging. And I always think, oh, that poor man doesn't have a car. It's so sad. But you're right, Ralph. There are faster ways to get around.
Yes.
It's just crazy.
We need to. That's why we're working on teleportation and jetpacks and rocket suits and whatever you have, just to get there quicker.
Exactly.
I got things to do. I can't ride a bike for 9 hours.
All right. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
By the way, getting a lot of love and appreciation from others, right-thinking Americans who are struggling under the yoke of pumpkin spice. I am the voice of an entire generation out there who is struggling with the same issues, who are trying to fight the good fight, and yet their words, their pleas are falling on deaf ears. So I'm happy to be the voice of that movement.
Ken, for folks who weren't listening when you brought it up last hour, a lot of people listening now will go, well, why don't they just not buy pumpkin spice and let those of us who enjoy it go ahead and have it?
Because we get brutally beaten about the face and neck with pumpkin spice just around every time this year. For the next 3 months, we will be beaten with pumpkin spice until there's some sort of internal injury. And then in January, everyone will come to their senses, and it'll be like waking up in a bathtub of ice after a hooker took out your kidney in Vegas when she gave you too much Molly. And you snap out and you go, oh, what was I thinking? That was a horrible choice. That was a horrible idea. And we all come back to our senses. And then, sure enough, next fall, it all start to roll around again.
I will tell you that I have asked myself, if pumpkin spice is so popular, why doesn't Starbucks just sell it year-round?
Because it's a racket, man. It's a scam.
Ralph, can I tell you something that might push over the top?
I don't know if I want that.
Bean said after you left last hour when you were just going off on pumpkin. Bean said, I like pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice coffee. But I don't drink it. But I like it.
Okay.
I like
the idea.
I like the idea that people can have it.
It sounds so festive.
That's what I'm about.
Just,
you know, I'm all about how people can have the most fun, Ralph.
Just tie off the rope and take the jump.
He just argues to argue, I think.
It's just madness.
He just likes the idea of things.
That's the problem.
The truth is,
people like him just walking around willy-nilly, just ruining the bell curve.
The truth is, I have had pumpkin spice, however many years ago it was, but I can't have the calories anymore, so I don't buy those anymore.
I'm a
good coffee guy.
Of course, your modeling career would be in jeopardy.
Right. So I go, I take the 5-calorie Starbucks offering instead of the 300-calorie Starbucks offering. So I don't buy it myself personally, but I know how delicious they are. I've had them. There's nothing wrong with them. It's a good item. It's great to have it available this time of year. People enjoy it. And you're missing out. You're missing out by not having it.
Says the guy who doesn't have it.
Right. Back to you, Ralph.
Someone sent me a very funny photoshopped photograph on Twitter of Always panty liners and said, new pumpkin spice scented. It's just getting goddamn ridiculous, all the pumpkin spice everywhere. That's what I'm saying. Okay?
All right.
And apparently a lot of people are feeling my pain.
Stop it.
Speaking of pain, tomorrow, Justin Bieber brings the pain. He's going to drop his new single, What Do You Mean? Hopefully we'll get it early enough and we'll be able to break it down during tomorrow's show.
Sure.
But if you don't hear it tomorrow, when you can officially download that song, you, my good friends, can check him out performing it on the MTV Video Music Awards on Sunday. Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus, it's all, I just hope they're all pumpkin spiced when they're on stage. It'd be the perfect TV show. This is actually a cool idea. How about a movie about young Julius Caesar? We know old Julius Caesar. You know, my back. What's up, Brutus? We know that guy. What about young Julius Caesar when he was a strapping young buck? That's the idea behind the new film called Emperor. It's based on a series of books by a guy named Con Eagledon. It's a story of Caesar when he was just a young man in Rome, hanging out with his buddy Brutus, working in the army, you know, kicking ass, taking over countries, emperorizing.
Are they going to CW it up and make Caesar all buff?
I think he probably was buff, Bean. Because back really? In the olden times, back there in ancient Rome, everybody was buff. You know why? No freaking pumpkin spice, that's why. But I think it's kind of cool to see a prequel to everything we know about Julius Caesar. I think it'd be a good idea. So that movie's going to happen. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm busy.
Come on, Kevin. You like all things historic.
I've got that thing.
You like those.
Ralph, you know I have that
you
thing.
You like to look back in history.
You,
and
of all people, know I have that thing.
Take a look at what used to be. By the way, yesterday I brought you the news about Zorro. Remember Zorro?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to set the record straight. I got a message from the executive producers of that film.
Okay.
And,
oh, no kidding.
And the story that was widely reported apparently was false. And so he wanted me to set the record straight. But I said it was taking place in a post-apocalyptic future, like a Mad Max kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He said it's not the case at all. It'd just be sort of like in the near future. Kind of like a Looper.
Okay.
Remember the movie Looper?
Yeah.
Or Children of Man or one of those things? You know, society's kind of honked up, but it's not like we're living in rubble and stuff and everything. So I'm even more excited then. Because then Zurgle.
But then he goes into space, right?
Yeah. So then it's Zorro in space.
That
was
Kevin's takeaway from the whole thing. Was sequel, in space.
Sure.
That's all I remember.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Aaron Paul is 36 years old today. Actress Sarah Chalk celebrates her 39th birthday. She was Faux Becky, right? Allie, if you nod, no one can hear you. I just wanted to give you a heads
she
up.
She did just nod.
In case you know you're on the radio, you might want to make some kind of noise.
Did you nod because you were sure?
Just acknowledge. Just shoot up a flare. Let us know something.
That was really strange.
She lit. She actually nodded.
Not even a...
I looked to her for a little TV trivia backup, and I got a nod.
I just think you're terrific.
I'm so sleepy. I'm
I don't
so
care.
Sorry.
You're still on the air.
Yes.
So you can sleep on your own time. You know when you can't sleep? Here now.
You're too sleepy to say yes. You can't say the word yes.
How about this? Just that. Make a noise. Snap your fingers.
You didn't even grunt.
Just some freaking thing.
How tired are you?
I believe Sarah Chalk took over for the actress who played Becky on Roseanne. And she came in and she was known by her close friends and family as Faux Becky, because she was the second Becky.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman, he's 63.
Allie's already gotten out of here.
63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we have the movie beat.
I think Ralph's point is that everyone's tired, but the rest of us are trying. I think
some
that's what he's
some of us make
saying.
Noise. We're still
on the air.
We muster up enough energy to emit some sort of sound.
Some of us then think back to that noise and go, why did I say
right,
that out loud?
But you're making an effort.
That's right, you're trying.
We're just asking you to talk.
That
that's
could
all.
Be heard.
We also have Neil Brennan tomorrow, comedian in the studio with us, and we have Sarah Shahi.
Tomorrow, Shots Howie. With Shahi?
It is Shots with Shahi.
Oh, boy.
Is she bringing the dead weight, though?
Her husband, Steve Howie, yes.
Yeah. All right. That's still cool.
Another woman Bean thought he had a shot
you
with.
You think he had a shot? Did you think that?
No, of course not. I'm just saying, you know, usually having the spouse around kind of puts a damper on things, that's all.
For whom?
In my experience.
How many star spouses are you around? You know, when you're doing the circuit of all the clubs in L.A. when you're out there?
Does that somehow thwart your game?
You're dropping the molly and working out there on the dance floor?
If you're found dead at a Motel 6, I'm just saying your life is going the wrong way.
I'm walking out now.
I am too.
Leaving the studio.